to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
What a eunuch.
Snowing and blowing.
It's your man, Mike.
Bushels of fun.
It's Wayne Newton.
Now the jingle
listen to me. I want to tell you something. If you play that song one more time, I'm going to come into your office.
That's only going to be played the correct way in context, along with this. You're right.
You'd have fist fights. And I'd end up at the short end of that stick.
Yeah, that's
I took up karate because I wanted to kill my brother.
Happy holidays. It's our last show before the winter hibernation break.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Okay.
Jingle bell.
Thank you, Queen.
I walked right into Carson's office.
Also, we've not gotten into some of my other Christmas favorites that I wanted to share with you before the holiday.
Oh, good. Please play at your house, right?
This one I love. This is especially good around the Christmas tree with the family.
The night before Christmas, when all through the castle.
Right. So variations on a theme.
The Yuletide
Bobby Boris Pickett.
He was all trimmed in ghoulish.
Oh, this is wicked funny. Yeah.
Wicked
funny. Wicked funny. Of course, I'm kidding. That's not funny.
No.
And the next song is definitely not funny. It's the wrong cut.
It's coming.
Oh, dear.
Got it.
Here it is.
Go. This, not funny. This one, true. Ladies and gentlemen, Gomer Pyle.
Oh, the late Jim Nabors.
He's not dead yet, is he?
Sorry.
Hepatitis C.
He's fine.
Carols in the square, laughter everywhere. Couples kissing under the mistletoe.
Oh, you get the gist of that one.
Reminiscing.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Reminiscing.
And then good friend of the Don and Mike Show. We had him on not long ago. Of course, we're talking about Mr. Andre Johnson. Known to some as RuPaul. Wow.
So interesting.
Daddy kisses.
It's disturbing.
I like Andre. I also like the last time we had him on, didn't he just talk in his regular voice? Like,
eventually, yeah.
Yo, what's happening?
You know, you can't beat a big back beat with a bass.
No, and then I played a little of this yesterday. This is the one we like to put popcorn on a string while listening to this.
You want to talk about a song to get you in the spirit. Meaning of Christmas. Two words, ladies and gentlemen. Perfect pitch.
Oh, dear.
Regretfully, he has left us. Hard to believe with that diet.
And finally, I know we've gone to it all week, but listen, it's the Christmas go-to. The genius that is Mike Douglas. The Mike Douglas Singers. Kiss from all over freckle face America.
Happy birthday,
Jesus. My mouth, good guy.
Here's Mike Douglas.
Katie got a dolly. Cries and blinks its eyes.
Oh, he's great.
Jimmy got an all.
You know, even something like this. The God that we all worship to.
Yes.
And like Howard, we read the Bible every day.
Of course.
I think even that most merciful God probably, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He turns the other cheek when he hears this.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't hear this and immediately think, God damn it.
He's a forgiving
God. Me damn it.
Right.
He doesn't go, me damn it. to kill Mike Douglas right now. This is the worst song I've ever heard about my son.
You think he's an all-merciful God?
Happy birthday, Jesus.
Because it's got to be something like this. Hit the button.
This Christmas morn. Cause we
is it great up here in heaven? What's that? A song about my kid? Me, damn it.
Happy birthday.
Today's the day I kill Mike Douglas.
And then he remembers he's merciful.
Now, Mike Douglas regretfully has passed, right?
No.
Still with us?
Yes, he is.
Then he dies 5 minutes early.
There you go. Oh, because that's his rule, Rob.
That's yes.
Right.
That's his rule. You never be 5 minutes late. You're always 5 minutes early for every appointment.
And you'll never be late again.
Here we go, everybody. Last show of the year. And hello to you.
Well, right back at you.
Hello, this is Scott Shadwell.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale, president of the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills and Perfect Bank of Grant.
Here are...
Granny. Granny.
Here are your groaners today. One groaner from the prep service.
Okay.
Two groaners from Santa's demented elf, Rob.
Very exciting. That means a total of three.
Two from the service.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
So guess the Rob one.
Yes.
All right. Guess which one was written by Rob. I think that's a fabulous idea that we can all enjoy.
Hello. What characters would you see in a nativity scene in Sweden? The three wise Sven.
Hello.
Hello, I'm Scott Shannon.
I'm Milburn Drysdale.
What's the most boring Jewish holiday? Yonka. Hello.
You could also say Yom Kippur.
Uh-huh. You could.
Yes, sir.
Rob will. Hello. Who is responsible for keeping the ocean clean?
Who?
Jack Custodian.
Wow.
No, that's an oldie, I know.
Man, oh, man.
Hey, Mike, that's it. We're done.
I have to guess which one.
I say, hey
now.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yes, now.
Everybody.
Those were all awful.
Hello. Yes.
But it's the last show of the year, and frankly, you know, the work ethic is.
Hello.
We're lucky that we're all here today.
That's right.
Hello.
To be honest, so. Said that two of them were from the prep service. One was from Rob. We'll go to Buzz first. Buzz.
I'll say Rob wrote Yannicka.
And Michael.
Let's see. We got the three wise Sven. We got Yannicka. And we got Jack Custodian. I'm going to go with Yannicka also. I agree with Buzz.
All right. So you both agree that Rob wrote
Yannicka.
Rob?
What do you think?
I don't even remember myself. Did they win or lose today?
They lost for Christmas.
Oh, so you wrote the three wise Sven?
No.
You wrote the last one.
Yeah.
You wrote Jack Custodian.
And Custodian.
You see, you thought that I thought that you
right.
thought.
You're trying to be a trickster.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
So they came up with Yannicka. Or Yannicka. That's not bad.
Not bad at all.
You can call Don and Mike
Genius
from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yeah. Door. Applause. Intro.
True story. He was a Nazi. True enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of faith. And his soul torn apart. Your discretion advised.
All righty, I've been well. You? Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Writer's Block and all the ships at sea. Last show of the year.
Hey, you don't have it.
I don't have it open. I'm out.
Good. No, hold on. You know what you can say.
I know. I want to say Merry Christmas to Jonathan Westmoreland and his gloves. And I know you echo that.
We'll explain that in a moment.
Yes.
Won't you echo that, Mike?
Yeah. No.
Please? Right.
Okay. Let's roll, Robbie.
Thank you, Mike. Oh, here's Don and Mike.
Right. Thank you, Robbie. I'll tell you about that in a second. Let's get retarded. Don and Mike Show, a new episode on this Friday. 1-2-1-7-0-4.
Buzz?
Yes. Hi, Donna. Mike, Buzz Burbank here.
Yeah. No, that's not retarded.
I was enjoying the comedy stylings of Mike O'Mara and Rob Spewak.
Hi, everybody.
Everybody.
Last show before the winter break. Hope you all have a great holiday.
That's the Patton Oswalt. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
I forgot somebody.
The weekend is here. Have a can of beer.
There you go.
A little Joey Ardinger. Okay, Joe.
Thank you.
Any mominates?
My buddy Joe. Yeah.
Little.
Everybody's buddy.
Little L-I-L, Lil Joe Ardinger. Okay, the first thing that we were going to discuss, I already forgot it.
No.
Oh, that's not good.
It was,
The gloves? Was it,
Yes. Oh, Jonathan, thank you, guys. It was nothing.
Jonathan Westmoreland. Who is Jonathan Westmoreland?
He's the dork, the sales dork that works here that's kind of in love with Beth Ann, and he has...
The creepy, sneaky one?
He has the girlfriend from India.
Yeah, and I was standing next to him, and his girlfriend is pretty, but he's still sneaky creepy.
So here's the deal. He's coming by the office, and he says to Beth Ann, who's standing in the doorway, he says, "Hi, Beth Ann." She says, "Oh, hi, Jonathan. Would you help me carry this present up to my office?" She received a present that came in a big box today. Mm-hmm. And he said, "No, I really don't have time." And he kept walking by. Wow. Now, of course, I could have carried it up to Beth Ann's office, but I said, hey, Jonathan, get your ass back here. And he brings it to attention. He goes, "Yeah, what?" I said, "Can't you help the lady with the package up to her office?"
What, he just ignored her?
Yeah. The best thing is when he said, "Oh, Don, did you say, hey, Jonathan?" And that wasn't too creepy.
Yeah. And he said, "Yeah. Why don't you be chivalrous and carry the lady's package upstairs?"
Right. He thinks the lady needs some assistance.
And then he said something else, and I said something that started with the letter F and ended with K, like fire truck is what I said.
I remember that.
Something like that. And he still was...
take me through the... When she asked for help, and he just ignored her.
He said, "I'm too busy."
Yeah, he was talking on a cell phone and wearing gloves.
I'm not kidding. He was like racing gloves.
Weird.
You know, yeah. Like he races his Hyundai or whatever. Yeah. So
creepy.
Weird. So so anyway, that's not the point of this. He goes upstairs, although to introduce you to the magic of the amazing Jonathan. He carries the package for Beth Ann upstairs. Then Beth Ann says to me, "I really need you to do me a favor." I said, "Of course." She said, "Jonathan, the same guy that just refused to carry her package upstairs, apparently was very helpful driving Beth Ann around and helping her buy gifts of the last-minute stuff she's got to do."
That's nice.
And she said, "And I really want to get him something for Christmas to indicate..." "To indicate, you know, how happy I am that he's helped me out."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "What do you need? I thought you needed advice on something to buy." Turns out, this is dope, and he works here in the building, so there's no reason that we should be deified to him.
Right.
All he wanted was for us to say happy birthday to him on the radio.
"Oh, Merry Christmas."
"Oh, Merry Christmas."
"Merry Christmas, Jonathan."
Which is what Rob said there.
Yeah. Well, done.
That's weird.
I mean, it's weird.
It's flattering, it's creepy, weird. Okay, so is that you think Jonathan's taken care of?
Oh, I think he's more than taken care of.
And do you agree that to some extent he might be considered a little creepy and weird?
Yeah, but I think that's why I like him.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you always been attracted to weird, creepy men?
I'm not attracted to them. I just like them.
You are.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about necessarily having sex with him. I'm saying, creepy, weird, in a creepy, weird way. You are drawn to him.
I'm usually drawn to the ones that need help or, have something missing or they're not quite right yet.
Oh, God knows. There's plenty of them here.
I found out last night that Jonathan often gives her a ride home.
He does. He's very nice to me.
You know what I mean.
Baby. Yeah.
To your gated community.
Rob is pissed that Beth Ann lives in a gated community. You just found out because Beth Ann complains all the time about how penny poor she is.
Yeah. Right.
And Rob said, "Do you realize when this guy takes her home? He's telling me she lives in a gated community."
I took her home last night. And I wasn't invited up.
You didn't invite Rob in?
I forgot you gave Beth Ann a ride home last night.
You could have at least fed Rob supper.
A mug of cider.
I thought you were talking about Jonathan having taken her. I forgot last night.
No, Jonathan usually does, but he couldn't last night.
I remember you said to me last night, we were leaving, "Hey, I can't chat. I'm waiting for Beth Ann. I'm going to give Beth Ann a ride home."
How was that drive?
It was fun.
And it was.
Was there any...
Thank you for elaborating, kid.
Listen, I'm going
to
see...
She kept to herself.
I'm
going to
speak in code, yeah. I'm wondering if there was any HD.
I hope so.
Any heavy petting.
Sure.
Nothing too heavy.
Some LP?
Yeah, some LP.
Some light petting.
So, Bethann, how come you didn't invite Rob up?
OTB.
Because he had to get home.
OTB.
Over the blouse.
But I did point out which apartment was mine.
Yes. OTT.
Yeah.
Over the trousers.
Oh, man.
But we had a nice ride, and as a matter of fact, it allowed me to figure out what I was going to get Bethann for Christmas.
Wonderful.
An automobile.
Oh, this was a beautiful moment.
I'm kidding.
This was a beautiful moment before the show today when we were exchanging gifts. Rob got Bethann a candle that he was very happy about, and Bethann was tearing open through the box and apparently screwed up the mechanism of how this box was supposed to open up.
Very cool box, and she destroyed it.
and then as she was looking at this gift, this candle thing Rob got, and she said, "Rob, I love it. It's beautiful." And Rob said, "This is a real moment of Rob just being Rob." He said, "I don't care what you think about the candle. You screwed up the box. Now look." And then he started to reconstruct.
Well, is the box supposed to contain the candle forever or what?
No, but it was a very cool box.
Oh, really?
The lid becomes part of the... It's hard to explain. I can never show you because it's been destroyed.
Because I ripped it apart.
It's been ruined now.
But then he did kind of jury-rig it back together and stood there like an idiot going, "Look, do you see how this would have gone if you would have opened it correctly?
Do you see?"
So she got a lecture for Christmas.
"Do you see?"
And she did.
Yes, and you know what? I got disappointment.
Yes.
A standard non-folding box.
Everybody wins.
Of disappointment. But I hope you enjoy it, the candle and the box.
I like them both.
Everybody in the Christmas spirit back there in the old producer's room?
Yeah, it's
so
nice.
Yes,
very festive.
So.
Very festive.
And, I know what Joe said that cracked me up. Just because he's so Joe. That's very...
Joe.
It's very nice to get any gift from anybody, and I'm very appreciative. And Joe
went bananas this year, I think. I mean, I he did for me. I hope he did for everybody else.
So Joe came in and said he gave me a big, gigantic, a tall box, indicating that it would be a big, mega, Sam's Club-sized box of a bottle of vodka.
Right.
In this big, tall box. And he said, "Don't even open it now. Wait till you get home. I'm sure it's the kind you like. I think it'll be going okay. It should last you through the holidays. After all, I remember the last time I was at your house, and I went over to pour myself a drink, and I found out there was nothing in the bottle. The bottle was almost empty."
Uh-huh.
And he's
never forgotten that.
I said to him a couple of minutes later, I said, "Joe, I do want to thank you. I meant it. And I do. It's a beautiful gift. But I think what I'll always remember is the quaint story about how when I was paying you to house it for me when I was out of town, and you raided my liquor cabinet and were disturbed that there was not enough liquor there for you to pour yourself a drink."
Right. Yeah. That's it. Whatever motivates him.
He's so Joe. Yeah. And what else did he say? There was a Joe saying today. Do you remember what it was, Robbie?
I know.
It was something about the presents. Something. You said something great today. Something that was...
I don't know, but all I'm saying is that I was surprised that you could go through so much vodka in 90 short days.
Everyone
has. The biggest bottle in the liquor store. If they actually had a bigger bottle, I would buy it.
Yo, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's Christmas. But what did you say about the gift? You said, he said something that was so Joe. Something like, "Gifts are here," or "Time for gifts," or something.
Was it "My goodness"?
That was it.
That's what it was.
He opened up one of the gifts and he went, "Oh my goodness.
My goodness.
Oh my goodness." Although he doesn't tell. Are you still there, Bethann?
I'm here.
Thanks for not hanging up.
I know. That's a Christmas gift.
He doesn't top.
That's her gift.
He doesn't top Bethann, who has, like, the vapors.
Yes.
She's fanning herself. And as she gives everybody a gift, Bethann says, "Merry Christmas."
I know you're going to hate it.
Yeah.
To everybody.
Yeah, that's weird, Bethann. That's why you get along with Jonathan.
Oh, okay.
Because you shouldn't say that.
I know. Well, I mean, it's just such pressure.
You're going to hate it.
She
got me four bottles of hot sauce. What could be better?
She got me a great little CD with Christmas music on it. I love it.
She got me a bottle of wine I like.
She got me a banana.
That's the only thing I got you, Rob.
A life one.
She got me a Bible.
A little Bible. But I laugh. Not all
so,
like
so I could be like Howard Stern and start reading the Bible.
Yeah, that's great.
It was on a keychain.
I know it was. You're funny. Okay.
Okay.
Get out of here.
Okay, bye.
And what else did she say? Hold on. What did she say about about TiVo box?
Oh, yeah.
She's such a girl.
Mm-hmm. She was very pleased, but then she says, "Do I need a special TV for this?"
For the TiVo?
TiVo.
Oh, and we started saying to her, "Yes." Oh, didn't we mention that you gotta go? You gotta go buy the special extra expensive TV.
Yeah, and then
the only one that works with TiVo.
And then there was a moment of quiet, and I just looked at the TiVo box. And I said, "Boy, that's going to be really hard and expensive to hook up."
Because she was flipping out of
torturing her.
Yeah, she is going to maybe have to buy a phone wire.
Well, she's not sure right now if there's a phone jack near her cable outlet. I said to her, Beth Ann, most places, that, you know, that's how they build it. You got the phone jack. It'll be on the wall near where your cable is.
Oh. Sure.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. And then Buzz offered to go over and help.
I'll help her out.
There you go.
Well, everybody's going to be dropping in on her pretty soon.
Absolutely. Yeah, get a number.
My God.
Get a number for better service.
My turn.
Oh, being as it's the last show of the year before we bring in the Christmas miracle, here's a loose end for you. Play this Christmas game. You know, I ran into my garage over the weekend.
Right.
I'm backing out of the garage. I got to buy two new garage doors and two new garage door openers.
Is that the game? Wow. Back into your own garage? Door?
No, the game is, which costs more to have two new garage doors replaced, mm-hmm. along with the motors and the framing and everything, because I'm an idiot,
the tracks and...
or the damage to the back of my car. Now, you guys have seen the back of the SUV. It tore off the brake light thing that's on the top of the hatch on back and scratched that luggage rack on the top a little bit.
I would say the garage doors.
Buzz.
Car repair prices are crazy. I'm going to say the car.
Mike, Buzz, winner.
They're insane.
How about that?
I knew.
And then I have the bonus of saying to my wife.
But, you know, that means but those car doors are, garage doors are very expensive.
Not as expensive as getting a car repair. It's
wow.
true.
Because I looked at the damage to your car, and I saw where they, you know, that whole section had ripped off, so they got to, like, put the whole new rear end on.
Electronic, something like that. Anyways, I said, Mike, should I turn this into the insurance? She's like, no!
Yeah.
No! And I said, that's why we have it. She says, no!
Never speak of this again.
Yeah, that's when they give you a letter after you put a claim like that. Well, how'd you do it?
My own garage.
Yeah, right. Got so, anyway, that was that game. Mike, this is a reminder from me to you.
Yes.
Tip your garbage man. Tip your mailman, and you want to do it as soon as possible. When are you going out of town to go to Florida?
Tomorrow.
Then what you want to do is you want to put something in your mailbox tomorrow for your mailman.
All right.
And you maybe want to, if you trust people, put a little envelope out there for your trash guys. Do you know your trash guys yet?
No.
Well, then maybe you light them up on the other side.
Yeah, I'll do that on the other side with the trash guys. Right now, I've got the address for the paper guy.
Oh, good.
And the mail guy, it's easy. I'll just put I've already tipped the mail guy for the restaurant. The guy that I saw just coming by and dropping mail up at the restaurant.
Good.
And I lit him up.
Yeah, you got to do that. You got to tip these guys, because these guys, in some cases girls, but mainly guys, they work their ass off all the time. And
I mean, it doesn't have to be a lot of money. You know, $5 if you can, and if you maybe a dollar.
Anything is appreciated.
The way, it should be a little more than that, Mike.
By how much?
You mentioned you're giving $5.
No, I gave $30 to the carrier at the restaurant.
Yeah, that's a nice start.
I seem pleased.
That's a nice start to ensure that you will get all of your mail now for the next year. You know, next year you'll have to bump him up a little bit.
Right.
I saw my mail guy, Chris, who's a good guy, and he knows that there's something coming his way.
Right.
And the trash guys, they're cool. The guy that delivers the post, though, is the guy that really has it down to a science, because I guess about a week ago with our newspaper, there was a Christmas card from your Washington Post carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And inside it has the guy's name and says, you know, happy holidays. And it's got just whatever the message, you know, glad to be here.
It's the most gratuitous of all. And, I mean, they're basically sitting there with their hand out.
And I don't mind, because I like the newspaper first thing in the morning. And I have no complaints with any of these people that do these jobs. I love them. That's why I love tipping them. The only constructive criticism I would have for the newspaper guy who puts the thing in the driveway, and now I realize that I might not get my newspaper now because I'm talking about him on the radio, there will be a nice tip for him.
Uh-huh.
You know, let's play a fun game. Let's see how many days of the week you can have the newspaper there by 6 a.m.
Yeah, that's the big battle.
You know, that's the only thing that drives me nuts. And I know that I'm an early riser.
I get mine so much earlier than that.
Do you really? How would you know?
Coming in?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Go on.
Hands it to her. You know what time I saw it one time?
What?
4 o'clock. 4:30-ish.
Wow, that's good. Anyway, tip all those guys.
No, I'm serious. It was like a Saturday morning. And it was, I swear to God, it was out there that early.
Tip them all, and you'll be cool. Let's bring in, people are on the line now about tips and stuff.
Okay.
I promise we'll get to you in a second, but we do want to bring in the Christmas miracle. Yeah. Boy, are we excited.
As promised.
We told you we'd have a big Christmas miracle to start today's show.
Right.
Just coming into panel here for a couple of seconds. Nobody really means Christmas more
right
than this man does. I want to say, stay classy, San Diego.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Hey, Morris Jones.
Morris Jones.
Hi, everybody.
Good to see you.
Hi.
How you doing?
He's taking digital pictures of everybody.
The anchor man.
Wow, there
Morris
he is.
Jones.
Looking TV perfect as usual.
Oh, yeah. I just tell you, you got to be a
diehard
listener or a native Washingtonian to know about Morris Jones.
Happy Kwanzaa to you, Morris.
At least in the fashion that we know, Morris.
What a neat toy that is.
This is the one that the little Sony that shoots video and
right.
Tyler, the guy that Steven Tyler advertises.
Oh, I've seen the ad on TV. Right?
Can I look? Can I?
Mojo.
I don't want to break it or anything.
Mojo was the anchor on Fox 5 here in DC and got kind of screwed around at that station.
What do I do?
Just push that button.
This one right here.
It'll roll video. Yeah.
All right. All right. Now it's recording.
Hey.
See.
Hi, everybody in Washington.
A nice Christmas gift. Merry Christmas.
Hi, Mojo.
Okay, Mike, you're taking video of Morris Jones
now? Yeah, and you and Rob. Oh, dear. You can't put that on TV
now. And
then
you just push it again.
So Morris was the news guy on Channel 5. Then, you know, they had whatever happened there. And now you're doing the news. You're doing a national newscast.
I'm doing a national newscast. Actually, Fox wanted to do this a few years back. And before Fox, Metro Media wanted to do this thing of central casting where we supply other stations with news content, and then the local stations fill in with local news. It's the
right.
old concept of the radio, all news radio clock, the wheel
right.
and everything.
Wonderful.
So we're doing a national newscast. I'm the anchor and the chief correspondent, blah, 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 and we're on in about 15 markets. Sinclair has been in the news lately.
Major controversy with Sinclair. But, well, if you see some of the executives from Sinclair, will you please give them my very best, congratulate them on an election well won?
Yeah, well, they pulled that off, and four more years.
So, Morris, I had the pleasure of seeing Morris in the men's room moments before. Before the show.
That must have been a thrill, Don.
It was, and I noticed as you were, washing up, you are a handsome man. I have to ask you, since the last time we saw you, and please be honest.
Yes.
Have you had work done?
That's what you say to
a
woman.
Below the belt, but that's another story. You call me tripod.
Your face appears to be a bit more.
I know.
You know what it is?
What is it?
I've lost
his hair.
The hair is shorter.
He's got his hair. He used to do the big
hair,
pompadour, and now he's got the buzz cut.
You're right. And damn, have you lost weight as well?
I've lost about 15 pounds, cut my hair, cleaned myself up for the show.
Mm-hmm. I guess so.
Yeah.
So look at you, Mr. Newsman. Did you do the newscast last night?
I was on the air last night.
Mm-hmm. What was your lead story last night?
Probably the United Nations and the problems there. Kofi Annan should come and bring baseball to D.C.
Yeah.
Maybe he could pull that off for oil.
Corruption in the U.N.
Do you have a mock turtleneck on today?
No. I gave up the mock turtlenecks when I left Channel 5 because it was such a... the glaciers there will never melt during our lifetime. And so once I left, it warmed up. So to do it up.
Look at that disco shirt you have on, though.
Well, this is something special for the holidays.
Take a look at that. Wow, yeah.
Look at this.
Yeah. Peel off that leather bomber jacket. Jeez. Let's take a look at that. Mojo.
Yeah.
You're starting to worry me a little bit.
I remember when you guys did TV, and I worked with a guy, Joe Koff, who was one of our salespeople. He was a WNUV. He wanted to say hi.
Okay.
He put you guys on the air.
Well, on Channel 54, right?
54, that's right.
It's wonderful.
What was his name again?
Joe Koff.
That's what I thought.
Oh, right. Yeah. So the shirt you got on looks like something that Denny Terrio threw up.
I auditioned for a Dance Fever show, and Merv Griffin wouldn't leave me alone.
Very festive. So, he couldn't keep his hands off you, we know.
So,
Mojo, what do you have planned? First off, here's a question we had yesterday, an unspoken question. What holiday do you celebrate in the month of December?
I celebrate Christmas.
Christmas, yes.
As everybody else did. And then Kwanzaa, and then Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. But that's
I was a loser.
Story. Yeah.
I was a loser.
Yeah.
How did you line up on that one?
You didn't ask me, but I would have said that he was a Hanukkah supporter.
You know, it's funny, and, and I've got, when I went, my best friend in college, his name was Cohen, and everybody, and all of his friends knew me and his parents and everything. They said, Morris is such a Jewish name. And I didn't know any differently. Everybody thought I was Jewish.
Morris is a Jewish name. And but you said you celebrate all of them also.
And my name is legally spelled Maurice, but nobody ever called me Maurice, so I just spelled it.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Some people call
me Maurice. M-A-U-R-I-C-E, really?
Name, and my dad would call me Maury, but once I went on the air, did I was pronounced it?
I guess it would have been tough to go, this is the evening news with Maurice Jones.
No, but there have been Maurice.
Sure. Of course.
There have been Maurices.
Yeah,
but
haven't there been anchormen who were Maurices? Who was there's somebody in Washington D.C.
You're right.
Only Maurice.
Buzz,
I remember.
Right?
Yeah,
a Maurice.
Remember Maurice Budkiss? Hello, who's on the hotline? Hello.
Hi, Danny Hutton from PDOG Night.
Oh, Danny, hold on a second, dude.
Yeah. Well, hold on.
Another Christmas miracle?
Well, that's my next Christmas miracle.
All right, very good.
It's a funny place, isn't it?
It is.
Just people, show business luminaries calling.
Tell that dude he's way too early.
Is he a creditor?
Three Dog Night.
He's from Three Dog Night.
Oh.
You familiar with Three Dog Night?
Is that Jeremiah Was the Bullfrog?
Right.
Yes.
Joy to the World.
Right. They're my guys. Yeah, Family of Man.
Right. I enjoyed Jim Nabors while I was sitting in the group.
Oh, there's nothing like Jim Nabors at Christmas time, Morris. There's nothing like him.
So, Mojo, now that you're on the national stage, do you consider where do you consider yourself to be on the tier with the guys like Brian Williams, the Cuckoo Dan Rather, the Canadian? Where are you? Are you?
And then you got your Shepard Smith.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks, Mike.
Right, and that would be the next tier down, right?
Are you way up? Let me tell you, the funny thing, 18 years ago when I was at Channel 5, I'd been there for a couple of years, there was this young cub reporter, nice guy, he was doing the supers, typing that into the Chiron machine, it was Brian Williams. I worked side by, he was a nice guy, he was
good,
trying
good
to...
Boy, you must hate him
trying
now,
to
huh?
hone his report.
Look at that, there's a guy that was coming up at the same time as you, and look at him.
Right,
look at what he's walked into.
His goal was to perfect his reporting. He went on to Philadelphia, then he went to New York, was doing the noon show. My goal was to replace Maury Povich as the anchorman. Maury was the main anchor. Channel 5.
You have a Brian Williams voodoo doll?
And Brian, what we couldn't get with Brian, we thought it was an act. He acted so serious and mature, and, I'm Brian Williams. And we thought, Brian, you're just a kid. Knock it off.
Yeah.
But it worked for him.
Yeah, he got there.
He got there.
Wow.
Dan Rather's leaving. I'm waiting for that phone call. Where is it?
with Brian Williams.
This is the CBS Evening News.
With Maurice
Jones.
Like John Chancellor.
With Brian Williams, who you knew coming up, and now you see him... on the nightly news. Do you ever just sit in on a Friday night at home when you're not working in your underwear, just with a bottle of beer, and just go, Brian Williams!
I could have met somebody.
He didn't
the only difference between Brian and me, and Greg's is like $4 million. That's the difference.
I could have been a contender. Hold on, Mojo. Your fans are coming out.
Yeah, because you have a lot of fans here in Washington, D.C. and around the country.
And in Baltimore, here's Mike. Mike from Morris Jones. Mike.
Radio Gods, how is it?
Hi. How is he? How is Morris? He's great.
Hi, Mike.
Of course. Hello. Question for Morris.
Yes.
Why does he have a life-size cutout of himself in his office?
All right, that's your first question, Morris.
Is that true?
Is there, in fact, a life-size cutout of you in your office?
And one of the staffers gave me a Mojo bobblehead. What I found out working with these people, there's a clause in my contract, they have to pay for that extra person.
Of course, your bobblehead, though, is actual size, isn't it?
Well,
it's really...
I get double the salary with more images. That's something they missed in the contract.
Do you really have a cutout of yourself in the office?
It's not a cutout. Actually, David Smith, the owner of the company, was playing with his digital camera, and he made a huge, giant photograph of me, and I keep it there. People drop dollar bills in front of it and so forth.
Yeah. I should also mention that the reason we called Morris, and he was nice enough to come down from his news center, is we got a beautiful Christmas card from Morris that had
posted
him,
do I assume?
Him standing in front of the skyline of Baltimore wearing his anchorman suit, and he looked just so... goddamn authoritative.
He is the definitive anchorman.
Well, you guys are always on my Christmas list, I enjoy being here.
It's not Christmas unless we receive a card from Morris and Julio Iglesias.
Here is Scott. Scott, hello, Don and Mike show.
D&M, babies. What's up?
Hi there.
Mojo Man.
Scott, nice to hear your voice. Hey, it is Mojo Man.
A long time. How's your audio system still doing?
Audio system is great. Did you install it? I need some work done on it. No, I'm just kidding. No, I am a big audiophile.
Did you in fact do some audio work for Mr. Jones?
Yes, I did.
Did you ever find any magazines hidden under floorboards?
Movies.
And he would bring in the hotties into the store, sure. And they'd be dancing around. He'd be listening to music. It was so cool.
Well, at least that was the cover I had. It worked for a while.
He'd bring the hotties into the store. I love it.
So when you do the news, you're asking me the markets we're in. I think we're in a lot of the markets right, you're in. Where are you at?
We do, depending on the time zone, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 7 o'clock newscast, Baltimore at 11, Birmingham, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Flint, Michigan, Greensboro, Las Vegas. You're in Las Vegas. We're on WB21 at 10.
A couple of those you mentioned.
At
Buffalo.
Gold 33 at 7, Milwaukee, Nashville, Oklahoma City, Pittsburgh, Raleigh, Rochester, Tampa.
Yeah, well, Rochester and Tampa.
Rochester right and Tampa. Yeah. So watch Morris. Are you doing the news show tonight?
It's called News Central. I'm off tonight, and I may not be back the rest of the year after today. But otherwise, so my day's off for Friday. This worked out perfectly.
Oh, great! And
it's News Central. They got to watch it.
Mm-hmm. News Central. And what makes your news program different? Well, first off, you should know the reason that we like more. Can you imagine any other guy who really does the news straight on TV and would come on our show like this?
Yeah, that was, I think, way back when, the first time you came on the show. I mean, we thought that you were the definitive straight-laced anchor guy.
It was Morris Jones
and
Day.
Morris Jones Day in May.
Didn't we discover you were kind of into the show? And
I talked to you guys years earlier to do the news that Buzz Burbank is doing now when you
right.
were
that's
on
right.
NBA.
On Wave, right.
And the thing that I remember
that's
most...
you were the lead anchor at Channel 10, Channel 5, 10 o'clock news, called up and said, hey, it's Morris Jones. I think I can do both jobs in one day.
It was a big stretch, but you know what? 5 in the morning, 10 o'clock at night.
Wow,
I
sure. You could have handled it.
Yeah.
The thing that I remember most with Morris coming in for the very first time is the word unflappable. That time, that first appearance when you came in on the show, we were throwing everything at you, and it was just steady Eddie. I mean, the same in you, the same way.
Well,
that is an energy that we rarely get in here, where it's just kind of, I know you get every little detail about the show, you know how we work, and you just kind of, you just do your thing and ever forward.
It's I use the spray on Teflon. Why, though, is there a razor blade next to my microphone?
Oh,
I do see this.
They leave, they do leave razor blades everywhere in this studio.
We leave one for all our guests.
So listen, but I have to ask you, obviously we have someone much more important in the next break, Three Dog Night. So I have to ask you, Morris, have you seen the movie Anchorman?
I feel like I've seen it. We did so many stories. I saw all the trailers. I hear it was a little bit of a disappointment. I've not seen it.
No.
It's typical 70s, and I will see it. I love
right.
Will Ferrell.
All right.
And everything about it, because we were coming up in the 70s with both the radio and the whole anchoring thing, mm-hmm. and the big hair and the suits and everything. I will see it. I'll see it.
You should see it. It's... Yeah. I'm Ron Burgundy.
I haven't seen it yet either because of my aversion to Will Ferrell.
and as an anchor,
Tom, would you be asking Morris Jones this question because you think there's some similarity between Morris Jones and Ron Burgundy?
What are you getting at?
I think they're both handsome men.
People take themselves too seriously. Lighten up.
Try this one.
I will.
Stay classy, San Diego.
Stay classy, San Diego.
That's good. That's smooth.
Listen, that's why I love Morris Jones.
That is your Christmas present for me.
Look at that
joy you brought this man.
Morris Jones just said
there
that.
Is a God.
There is. Morris, happy holidays.
Thank you.
Would you say, hold on. How about for the markets that we're in, where you do your show? How about a stay classy Buffalo?
Stay classy, Buffalo. It's Morris Jones.
Yeah, he's the Christmas miracle.
He is. Now it all makes sense to me. Yeah. And this is a big show for us. This is the last show before our holiday break. It's amazing.
We appreciate the fact that you're here. We're big Morris Jones fans, and we would like you to be more in touch with this program in the next coming year.
I will be. I'm leasing a helicopter. We'll do a drop the next time. It'll be much quicker from Baltimore.
That'll be wonderful.
Rappel down and drop in.
You were nice to drive. I asked Rob if you could just get you on. I didn't know you're going to be all the way here. I thought you'd be on the telephone. But we'll pay half your gas.
The motor? No, I had a motorcade. There were four Chevy Suburbans. People were, all over the road, but we made it in time.
The Mojo motorcade.
Yeah.
All right, well, Morris Jones is our Christmas miracle. Do you have a Christmas message? Seriously, for everybody, do you have like some Jive Anchorman thing or something you'd really like to say?
I don't think so. I didn't practice any like Jive Anchorman messages. Just everybody have a great year, a healthy year. Be nice to everybody. Keep listening to the show and watch me where you can.
Very good.
There he is. Morris Jones, stay
Morris
classy.
Jones, that's
our Christmas miracle.
Morris Jones.
All right. Merry Christmas, Mojo. Morris. Happy Hanukkah. And I love that little gadget. That is very, very cool.
Bye. He's videotaping me again.
He's got his little video machine. Go.
Morris
Mojo. Look at
leaving the building.
There you go. He's leaving the building right now.
Morris Jones, is he the greatest? Is he the coolest?
He's a cool guy. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Morris.
Stay classy, San Diego.
Take care.
I'm Ron Burgundy. And then in the control room, somebody says, who put a question mark on the prompter?
Well, that was great.
Yeah. I like...
That's a festive way to start the show.
You know, that's one for us and for all the longtime listeners.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Anyway, he's on a lot of markets, so watch him because he's...
I know he's not a cool guy, but he's a cool guy, Rob. You know, he takes everything we dish out.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy, and it's just... And he is Teflon. It all bounces off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's right.
If you could have seen this Christmas card. And I don't know, I think... We may have put it in Beth Ann's office upstairs because it's him standing down by the Domino's Sugar sign in Baltimore where you get the impressive skyline of Baltimore.
Right, right.
And really, I'm not belittling that. I'm saying
it looks nice.
It is beautiful from that angle. You've got the Raven Stadium, you've got Camden Yards, you've got the Inner Harbor, the skyline. And he's standing there and he's wearing like a London Fog raincoat.
Sure.
And he's got the big turtleneck and he's got his arms folded, and he's giving you the full Monty package up front. And he's, you know, you're damn right I do the news.
Right.
Yeah! Right. Mojo.
Wow.
The man, Mojo. Oh, and now my three-dog night, guys.
Well, is he supposed to be in this first segment?
Commercial.
Hello?
Listen, we got a break. These guys cool?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're three-dog night. What else are they doing? What am I saying?
Right, yeah.
They're available.
We could come to them tomorrow when we're off the air and they would take our call. Okay, thank you, B.A. We'll get them next.
Okay, bye.
We're just putting the finishing touches on their new single.
You love to hurt me, don't you?
I'm just kidding, of course.
You love to hurt me. No, I love Three Dog Night, and this is a vanity booking for me because I'm the only one that loves Three Dog Night.
I was going to say, thank God for that. Because you're not getting anything from me during that interview.
Three Dog Night is another
Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Three Dog Night is another one of these bands. Like it or not, if you're our age, it is it's the soundtrack of your life, Mike. Well, at least for me, growing up in Top 40 radio.
Coming out of high school.
Yes, you've got One is the Loneliest Number, Eli's Coming, Try a Little
song.
Tenderness, Family of Man,
Old-Fashioned
Love Song,
right.
Black and White, Shambhala, I Never Been to Spain, Laya, boom, doo-doo-doo-doo, Laya, Easy to Be Hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, they had like 30 hit records.
Easy to Be Hard, I'm not familiar with that. From the musical Hair, and their version of it was a top 40 hit.
Oh, all right. And I loved playing it, because back in the day, you know, all you do is just announce the title, and you felt like you'd get away with murder.
Right. Oh, man, and growing up, kind of an anthem for all of us.
Those who were lucky enough, Mark. Some of us were late. Late to the party.
Oh, man, you know, all the school bus would have to do is go over a pothole.
We had a break here, and thank you, Mojo. A Christmas miracle. Oh, and one big way. Yeah, there you go. One big way to win big.
All right.
Another $1,000 winner on today's show. Before we get done, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Get the holiest power of glory.
Stop. Sing something else.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. All the fun it is to ride in one horsey open sleigh.
No, stop. Kitchen, bring food.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, the jokes stop now. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Hey. This is Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Bow, bow, bow. And yeah, we will have the Hamburger James story today.
Yay.
That's a promise. Also today from the NFL Network. our friend Rich Eisen will be on.
Excellent.
Rich is sponsored by Tower Records and Tower.com. No one has a bigger selection of the music and movies you love than Tower and the gal that lost on The Apprentice last night. I know you guys watch it. We don't.
But I'm Kelly, Vicky.
No, Kelly was the winner, and he was the guy.
Stephanie, Debbie.
The loser, from what I saw last night, killed this guy in the boardroom. I'm surprised she wasn't the winner.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's the loser, and you'll get to talk to her later. On the phone now, I don't know if it's Corey or Danny. Hello?
It's Danny here.
It's Danny. Okay, everybody. Three Dog Night is one of my favorite bands of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And, hold on, I got Corey on the other. Is it just going to be you, Danny, or is it going to be Corey, too?
I'm in L.A., and Corey's in New York, so I haven't talked to him yet. So.
Okay. These guys, there were how many guys originally in Three Dog Night?
Seven.
Seven. Mm-hmm. And it was you and Corey on most of the vocals. You guys had a unique sound. I was mentioning before the break what a Three Dog Night fan I am. I grew up, but that's Corey on the other line. I grew up on Top 40 music, got into radio when I was 11. One of the first records that I ever played on the radio was by Three Dog Night.
I think one of the first songs I ever sang was Joy to the World. I mean, it's not my own. It was amazing.
The Frog song follows us.
I mean, it has to, because I think as a kid, and when we were all growing up, listen to that. I mean, what kid is not attracted to that lyric, Jeremiah was a bullfrog?
But you know what's funny is we get a lot of Vietnam vets that say, hey, man, that song got us through Vietnam. And it's like, what are you talking about? It must be the wine part.
Hey, well, he always has some mighty fine wine.
That song got me through, I think, seventh grade.
And why did you name it? You know, I've always...
Hold on.
I know you're excited, but I've got one major question.
Let me just get Corey here. Corey, okay. Are you here as well?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, all right, hold on. Yeah, Mike,
guys, for both of you then, Corey, hi, welcome to the show. I have to ask both of you, why was the bullfrog named Jeremiah?
We don't know. That was Boyd Axton's creation.
I don't think the writer, Boyd Axton, even knows.
Did Boyd Axton write that song?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So now just
Boyd, the guy that wrote The Pusher Man for Steppenwolf wrote Joy to the World.
To bring everybody up to speed, it's Danny Hutton and Corey Wells, just so we've not mentioned last names, from Three Dog Night. I was telling you these guys had hit song after hit song after hit song.
You don't realize it until you were listing their records. You know, just how many hits they had. It's phenomenal.
On ABC Dunhill, and they're one of my favorite groups. And actually, I saw a special on TV with you guys with the London Symphony Orchestra. And I think that's what you're pushing today, and it's fine with me. This CD right here.
Yeah, the 35th anniversary album with I'm saying album. See how old I am?
Yeah, well, you know, I call it an album, too.
That's actually the Tennessee Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, is that
the DVD?
That's the thing that I saw. So this is you guys with the London Symphony Orchestra. Let's hear a little bit of Three Dog Night with the London Symphony Orchestra. One. This is great.
One is the loneliest number that you ever knew.
I'm gonna tell you, dude, something. Really, as a guy, I love Top 40. I was born in 1958. You guys took me all the way through my formative years. I think anybody's most formative years in music are like between 13 and 17.
Right, right? Absolutely.
But me, even a little younger. And you guys just put out hit record after hit record. And I knew when I bought a Three Dog Night album, I was going to like all of the songs on it. And I think you guys really don't get the stuff that you should get.
The recognition.
I
mean, yeah.
Like, you know, you talk Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I look at some of the names going in now, and I go, boy, we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel. And you say,
no, I think there's some good ones. I think Corey and I, our problem is we're confused by what the rules are to get in, because it seems like there's some mysterious band of guys, like the OJs just got in this time, and they're wonderful.
Yeah, like the OJs should have been in a long time ago, and so should you. Right. Is it because you guys had records that were fantastic, well-produced, you had all kinds of instrumentation, and God forbid they were commercial, and they were all number one records? Does that work against you?
Well, it didn't work against Motown, all the groups of Motown, and then some people said, well, they didn't write them. The Motown guys didn't write them. OJs didn't write them.
Right.
So
I don't think that has anything to do with it. I don't think that has a hit is a hit, and according to them, because they're representing the people of the recording industry. I think it has something to do with political problems with us and them and other people.
We don't know. Well, we really don't know what the rules are.
Either way.
But for us, is the great thrill is we're out here 35 years later, and a lot of those rock and roll Hall of Fame guys open for us.
Danny, Corey, hold on. A couple more cuts here from this new CD, recent recordings by Three Dog Night with the London Symphony Orchestra.
I'll tell you, just based on that first one, it's a damn nice mix.
It's a big top 10 record that you never hear it on the radio.
Here to shepherd you through your afternoon.
Okay.
Don Geronimo and Michael.
That's the big voice guy. Yeah!
Family of Man. I did 1972. This song kicked my ass. I swear to God.
This side is saved with somebody's dream. Build a rock as black as the sea.
Sweet.
Four level highways across the land. We're building a home for the family of man.
See, this is like I know millions.
That's a live cut, yeah.
Millions of people right now are listening to us going, that's Three Dog Night. I love that
absolutely
song.
I couldn't agree more. And the thing about it is, for you guys to do this, I know for singers, a lot of singers have said, you know, the greatest thrill was the first time I got a chance to, you know, sing with an orchestra, sing with a big band.
Right.
In front of a major philharmonic, I mean, it must be a tremendous experience to sing in front of, backed by that kind of orchestra.
Well, the major thrill for us, and Corey and I were huge Beatle fans, is doing it at Abbey Road Studio. Imagine what that was like.
That had to be great.
Okay. And our arranger conductor is the guy that does the Moody Blues, who, when we do symphony dates, he flies out and conducts for us. So,
so sweet. Here, now, this one starts just like the record. And, you know, every DJ had to... And now here goes Three Dog Night. How do the lights shine in the halls of Shambhala? Generally with 75 watt bulbs.
Wash away my trouble, wash away my pain, with the rains and Shambhala.
That's good, isn't that?
Wash away my soul, wash away my shame, with the rains and Shambhala.
Now, do you have the one that all the kids liked for, that's, is it on there?
Oh, Joy to the World?
I mean, we might as well, really, who doesn't?
Of course.
And this very day. I hear the laughing in the background, guys.
Are you?
Is that the one you get asked about all the time, and does it get a little old? I would imagine it
will. Well, it depends on what country, because actually, in Europe, Mama Told Me Not to Come was the biggest record we had.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's different in different countries, you know?
Yeah.
Here. Oh, hold on. What, Robbie?
We sang Joy to the World in my sixth grade music class.
There you go.
And that really, we had to sing We Always Had a Mighty Fun.
I wonder if these guys get royalty checks for that. You know, I'm curious.
For sixth grade,
I don't know. Kids sing it in school. Bow, bow, bow.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Wow. Was a good friend of mine.
Listen to that with that orchestra. A lot of bands do stuff with orchestras, and it just doesn't happen. This
works.
This really works. Oh, I dig those horns.
How do you keep your pipes in that shape after all these years?
Great.
I stopped smoking.
is that really what you attribute it to?
Yeah, I stopped smoking in 80, so...
Wow. All right, hold on, let me just...
That's great, man. I mean, honest to God.
Let me give you another one. This is a zero start, but this is so good. Slipping away.
Slipping away. Sitting on a pillow. Waiting for night to fall.
Yeah. You guys sound just like your record. Your voices are incredible.
The voices are really remarkable.
Sitting on a pillow.
I want that.
This is the night. Celebrity
ball. Oh, yeah. See, that's like why you can't have, like, the sound-alikes. You gotta have the real guys, the real Three Dog Night guys.
Absolutely.
I'll let this go for a second for you, Buzz, and then... My favorite Three Dog Night song. I'll do that when we'll take some calls. Okay, and hold on, one more. You guys tell me, was Out in the Country a big hit record for you?
Oh, yeah.
What, was it really?
Definitely.
Because it was one that I remember the radio station playing at whatever radio station I was temping at, you know, as a kid, for just a couple of weeks, and I stole it when they dropped it, and I brought it home, and I was amazed to find out it wasn't on the, not on the air yet. It had the same song on both sides of the record, because the deal was when one side wore out, you would play the other side. And I went home with the record, thinking I was the coolest thing in the world. Like, hey, look at this! I got a record that's got a white label on it, not a black label, and it's got the same song on both sides.
I'm a radio guy.
Now listen to this. You tell me if this is not sweet. God damn, guys. That's beautiful. I'm not jerking your chain. That's music that touches me, because that's my music. That's top 40 from my era.
I want to ask a question, if I could. I heard a story about you guys, that when you mixed these songs when they were first hits, that you listened to them, you checked them out through like a 3.5-inch car radio speaker to see what they would sound like on people's AM radios.
Well, we did when we mixed the single version. We do a stereo album, and then Richie and Bill, along with Corey and myself and some of the guys that sit there and get the real hot mono mix.
Right.
We figured with whatever the kids had at home, we get an average speaker and use that.
That's amazing. That sounded great. Yeah.
Dudes, here are some calls, if you don't mind, for Danny. Danny and Corey from Three Dog Night. Here's Joe. Joe!
Hey, this is Joe, first time caller in Rochester, New York.
Right, Joe.
Danny and Corey are listening, right?
Yeah, they're on the line.
Right. I don't want to be negative at all. I love you guys, man. You guys.
Okay, then I just hang up on you. Hello. That's all we need. Hello, Al.
Hey, Danny and Corey. You were one of the first concerts I ever saw in Virginia Beach, the Virginia Beach Amphitheater.
Wow. They don't remember that, sir. But what's your question?
I want to ask you about Mama Told Me Not to Come. In particular, you know, it's a great Randy Newman song. How did you get hooked up with that song? Did he shop it to you, or how did you come about getting that song?
No, I found his album in a Sears and Roebuck bargain bin for 50 cents. And I thought it was weird. I thought he looked strange because everybody at that time had long hair, and on the album cover, he's got real, real short hair.
Oh, here's a little bit of that.
It was just strange. I bought it, and it was 50 cents. You can't turn it down, and I played it, and I just fell in love with his writing.
Yeah.
There's actually one No One Ever Hurt So Bad is really one that I liked, and the other one, Kick an Old Can Down the Street, That's the Way to Treat a Friend. I Think It's Going to Rain Today. That one I really thought that I wanted to do, but I ended up doing Mama Told Me. I was actually doing Mama Told Me before I was in Three Dog Night.
Mama Told Me.
Man, it's those chords. Too. Yeah, I mean, it's okay, just great music.
One or two more calls. Here's Derek. Hey, Derek, you're on with Danny Hutton and Corey Wells. Derek.
Hi, I'm only 35, and I was a kid when most of this came out, but every time one of their songs comes on, I mean, I sing top of my lungs. They're great songs.
Yep.
I can't believe you're not in the Hall of Fame. It's a shame. I'm not meaning to rhyme. I'm sorry. And sorry about that. And I swear, most of the times you hear a symphonic album, it sounds like a gimmick, and the cuts you played, it sounds powerful and even better.
I tell you, Don's got this on the other side of the console. The only thing I'm thinking is how I can steal it from him before we go on a break.
Let me play one more before we let these guys go. And this one's getting a lot of play now with Eli Manning. All the, Fox Sports, everybody's using it.
Yeah.
Eli's coming. Want to hear Luther Yorkus?
On the beginning.
Oh, it's got a long intro?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then I hope you won't mind as an artist. I'll just fast forward past the intro.
They used this song on the series Sports Center a couple of years ago.
Oh, hold on. We need to back that up. Well, never mind. Okay. No, it's embarrassing now.
It's okay.
They're on the phone.
That's all right.
Here we go. There it is. Now. Wait till it kicks.
You've got a
these guys are not hiding from these notes?
Yeah. Absolutely astonished, beautiful. I mean, really, that's true.
Give it 30 seconds. Give it 30 seconds. And it's like waiting to have sex, you know. Come on,
it's worth it.
Oh, this is like when my wife wants to walk around the room. Come on. Get over here.
Broken heart.
Yeah.
Broken heart.
How's that?
You know, I asked the question about the voices, guys. I hate to bring it up again, but I'm saying, just quitting smoking, huh? No exercising, you know, not vocal training, vocal exercising, any of that involved in it?
When we started as a group, we'd all been around for a long time already,
right,
either in the studio or live. So
right.
We were a garage band that learned how to play and then recorded right away. So I think that helped.
You guys kick ass. They have a website, threedognight.com. We'll have a link at donandmikewebsite.com. And the album is Three Dog Night, 35th Hits Anniversary Collection with the London Symphony Orchestra.
I mean, that is just an awesome album. I can't wait to continue to listen to it.
You guys kick ass.
Hey, thank you, man. Play it, man. Go out there and buy it so we can buy some Christmas presents.
Okay. All right. I think you're going to do okay after this spot. Absolutely.
You come back on the show after you sell however many you need to sell, and then we'll talk about all the other stuff.
We need a million.
Okay.
All right, come back then.
I'll tell you all the nasty stories next time.
Okay, yeah, please. Because I know there's a ton of them I didn't go there because I'm a big fan. All right, bye, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot.
All right, see you, dudes.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You know, good.
There is a lot of junk about that band, about the lead singer, Chuck, the guy that had the problem with coke and his nose almost fell off.
Right.
You know, I didn't want to go there with those guys. That's too good.
And
those guys
wanna,
had the sound.
I didn't, you know, because you're the musicologist and you're the fan. I didn't want to ask him while they were on the air, but I'll ask you. I'm listening to some of those songs that they did with the London Symphony Orchestra, and then I'm listening to, you know, when that was recorded recently, like within a year probably?
I think during this year.
During this year.
Under year.
And that song came out. It's just a... We're talking about guys, what, in their 60s?
This is their 35th anniversary, so...
It's you know, if they're probably there in their 50s and 60s, so they've been around.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that guy has his voice like he had 40 years ago.
You know, in a way, they're like Journey, because, like, Steve Perry's not with Journey. They got a guy that sounds like him. They're like the Doobie Brothers. You can hear the Doobie Brothers without Michael McDonald, and except for a couple of songs, you don't really notice. Chicago has done that. They've changed singers, but both Danny Hutton and Corey Walls were original members of Three Dog Night.
And that's Danny that's singing, right?
Yeah, that's him.
He sang him 35 years ago, right?
Yeah, well, along with Chuck. Chuck sang a lot of stuff like on Joy to the World.
And
then he did the coke thing and his nose fell off. I ain't making that up.
Well, you know, we were nice to him the first time. Next time, the whole show could be how did the nose fall off.
Right. Frank, Don and Mike. Oh, we got a break for your apprentice loser. Hello?
Oh, there you go.
Hey, Don and Mike, that was fantastic, man. I listened to these guys growing up. My parents had them on 8-track. Now I got to go get one for my dad and one for me for Christmas. It's great.
I mean, I believe it. As somebody who's not, wasn't the mega fan, I didn't realize they had all those hits. And just the way that album sounds, I want to get it.
Hello, Claude?
Gentlemen.
Yes.
Hi. Another big fan and another great interview. You guys are scoring the good ones lately.
Yeah.
Listen, I had a question for the band, but I get the feeling that Don knows this one. I heard a rumor once that their song Liar was, the vocals were recorded in the bathroom. Do you know if that's true?
Yeah, you know, that's why I wanted to set those guys up first, because I am a mega fan of Three Dog Night. I know all that stuff. Yeah, there are stories about these guys. I mean, these dudes really partied.
Right.
Hardy.
Yeah.
I mean, they had 20
number one record or 20 top 20 records in a row, and after about record number seven, it went to their heads, and from like seven to and also to their noses.
Yeah. Right.
From seven to 20,
yeah,
they're out of control.
Well, I mean, they held up pretty well.
Well, yeah. We'll have them back on again, and I promise, everybody's calling about.
Now, is the other guy dead?
No, he's not. All right. And that's another like weird Steve Perry journey thing.
Right. All right.
Jeff.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, man, thanks for having Three Dog Night on. Listen, I love that band, but you know the lead singer sold his teeth to a dentist to buy heroin.
Okay, I told you there was a lot. You know, there's more. Not only his teeth. I mean, I didn't want to bring it up with these guys. The guy, Chuck, the story is not
I know.
Made up story.
I know.
Yeah. He was so strung out.
Right.
He took all of his Three Dog Night gold records,
yeah.
Went to a pawn shop. The guy at the pawn shop said, I've got news for you. These are not really made of gold.
It's gold spray paint over
They're gold
vinyl.
Spray paint on records. Right. How much can you... And they were like, they're hits. One is the loneliest number.
Yes.
He got like $45. Oh. I mean, I know that. Those guys know that. Next time we'll bring it up with them.
Heroin must be wonderful. It makes people do really odd things.
And Buzz, a wonderful insight from Rob Spiewicz.
Where do they have really good heroin this holiday season, Buzz?
Yeah, who has the best...
Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey has the best heroin.
That's right. Jersey and you.
80% pure, right, Buzz?
That's right.
Ask for advice.
Happy holidays.
Yes.
Thank you, Three Dog Night.
You got to figure in your toll, though, when you're buying
it. Yeah. Now, guys, listen, I could handle that. I love Three Dog Night.
Yeah.
This lady that lost on The Apprentice last night.
Yeah, all I saw was the clip on the news of her losing.
I'm out.
Hey, but he did play her, and I will ask her about that, because he played her. I thought he was staring at her, and he was going to switch back to the other guy, Kelly. He didn't do that.
I just loved, when I turned it on,
Donald Trump.
Subservient Regis was. Yeah. Regis was like Donald Trump's dog. Donald Trump is sitting up on stage and goes, Regis, go down there and interview my CFO. Right away, Trumpster! And he goes running down to the front like a dog.
Whatever I can do for you, Mr. Trump.
And I thought the girl should have won from the couple of moments I saw.
A lot of people do.
So if you saw The Apprentice, call us up. You'll be able to talk to the loser. And Beth Ann wants me to announce this is... No lie, a national radio. They're not doing any radio until Monday.
Very good.
So we'll have the loser on next. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Griswold Family Christmas Tree.
Isn't it a little big?
It's not big. It's just full.
Dad, that thing wouldn't fit in our yard.
Not going in our yard, Russ. It's going in our living room.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hold on a second. That's not a Christmas miracle, Rob. That's the sound of Rob hitting the thing. And it's still... Still screwing me on Christmas.
Damn it, where's the guy with the voice?
Hold on.
Christmas is not about being with people you like.
Right.
It's about being with your family.
Like, all of that for that.
Please to be enjoying the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, we've set this apprentice thing up.
Yes.
But we were on the telephone with the guys from Three Dog Night.
Yeah.
When the apprentice loser was supposed to call. Beth Ann gave her the bat phone number.
Uh-huh.
So we don't have call waiting on the bat phone because, you know, with the
and
Three Dog Night.
One of those deals where they have our number, we don't have theirs.
Right, they're going to call us.
Beth Ann is tracking her down on her cell right now. She should have it in just a moment.
Okay, either way.
I think you should absolutely hire me. I have the passion and the drive. I stayed up for almost three days straight, and I had employees that I inspired, even though I had previously fired them. I have the passion. I have what it takes. I don't think Kelly does.
Kelly, why should I hire you?
Because I've stepped up and delivered every single time. I seek the leadership positions. I don't shirk them.
I think I am the strongest and most motivated person out of the two of us, and I'm going to have what it takes to run one of your companies.
I want to lead. My background and experience are perfect.
I have a very good attention to detail while at the same time the ability to see the big picture. And that's, I believe, what you need for someone running one of your companies.
So that was the last night where they got the plea, their final case before Donald Trump. And I know
made the big decision.
That the talk of this hair has been done to death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if we could just a moment, because I don't watch The Apprentice. I watched it last night because allegedly we're going to have this woman on, and we will or won't, because of Three Dog Night. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, I'm sorry. We'll answer the questions anyway.
Yeah.
Here's what I don't get about his hair. It appears to be the biggest comb over of all time. It goes from nearly from his left ear all the way over to his right temple by his eyebrow.
Yeah, I mean, if it was misplaced, you know, if a strong wind came up and it wasn't shellacked down, it looks like, seriously, it would look like a flying carpet flying out of his head.
This is what I had a question about. I'm sure he's got the shellac on, and I saw him on the Today Show with Matt Lauer.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was some guy from The Apprentice give us the details on it one time?
Gave us a theory. But what I'd really love to see is that guy waking up in the morning, because I know, even with my hair, with it, I'm losing my hair, but when I wake up in the morning, sometimes it's got that Albert Einstein look.
Or soaking wet would be funny, too.
I'd like to see him pulling off a stocking cap.
Hold on. let's see if we got her. Hey, Jen?
Yeah.
Jennifer, hi. Yay. Listen, sorry we were on the telephone when you called. It's been a crazy day. Either way, we're so glad you could join us. So sorry that you lost.
Thanks for having me.
What?
Thank you for having me.
Listen, so sorry you lost.
It seems that the consensus really is the Donald picked the wrong person. Have you been getting a lot of that?
Yeah, you know, it's been great, actually. I've been getting so much fan support. I think it was within about a half hour at the end of the finale last night. I had already received over 200 emails. And they've just been coming in all day. It's been really, really good.
And we just played the tape of your final spiel there, and even on that, I mean, you
killed him.
You dust Kelly.
The whole boardroom, it was like the rope-a-dope thing. You just kept pow, 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 and he just kept...
Well, you know, I had a bunch more saved up for him, and Mr. Trump cut me off. So
wow.
I was ready to go all night. I had a whole list of things.
Wow.
All right, before your calls, go all night. Here's Trump saying that Kelly, the guy's the winner.
This is a very, very tough decision. I have to be honest. Jennifer, Harvard, Princeton, top of your class. But, you know, one of the problems was that your teammates did not really like you too.
Right here I knew that he was going to screw you.
Yeah.
And Kelly, you had a very good record. I have a little bit of a question about leadership, even though you went to West Point. I'm not so sure that you're the great leader.
Oh.
I really am. I'm just not so sure that you're going to lead the way I want you to lead.
He's true.
I'm
the other guy's
so
an Army
sure
guy.
That you can take that great military background and put it into business.
Kind of wimpy, I thought.
Jennifer, nevertheless, I have to say, you're fired. Kelly, you're hired.
Jennifer, I want to ask you about that very moment.
As everybody
is watching that,
ow.
Did you feel with that enormous pause that maybe he was going to turn to Kelly and say, Kelly, you're fired?
You know, I really did. Throughout the season, just watching episode after episode, I was increasingly, you know, aware that he was moving towards Kelly. It was pretty obvious just the way things had been edited and cut. You know, they had taken out a lot of my contributions. A lot of negative stuff that had been said about Kelly was omitted, so I started to get a sense that maybe that's the way things were going from the editorial choices.
But at that
one moment when he, you know, looked at me and paused so dramatically, I thought, well, maybe he'll pick me. But you know, I think he was really moving towards Kelly all season. I think last night was very much orchestrated to be a Kelly coronation.
Right.
It wasn't a total surprise.
If you had won and they had given you the choice, which was obviously the softball of you want to go to Vegas or do you want to stay in New York on the Upper West Side? And obviously the guy was just climbing into Trump's prostate. I want to stay in New York so I can be in the same city as Donald Trump. What choice would you have made, honestly, Jennifer? Would you have chose Las Vegas or would you have stayed in New York?
You know, I probably would have. I live in San Francisco, but I probably would have come out to New York just because, you know, I have a lot of friends, a lot of my acquaintances and friends from college and law school are in New York. It's a fun city.
So, you know, I'm not that familiar with Vegas. I think Vegas is a fun town to visit, but I probably would have made the same choice.
You know, one of the things that Trump said to you last night was that you were not well-liked by your colleagues. I would venture to say, in the Trump empire, there are not a tremendous amount of people that always want to give him a big wet kiss either, I would think.
Well, you know what? First of all, that was really a gross misstatement. I had, you know, a lot of good friends from the show all the way really up until the final four or five of us. And at that point, I mean, hey, look at the source. I was dealing with Ivana, and, you know, Ivana was just a real nightmare to me. She called me a fembot, a cancer. She really was just hugely personal, and I refused to stoop to her level. But, you know, she got Kevin and Kelly on board with her. At that point, you know, it's classic military strategy, take out the leader. They saw me as their biggest threat. So, you know, do I really care if the three of them saw me as friends? No.
All right, let's get
it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, ultimately, you know, I didn't want to lower myself to their level, and I wanted to take the high road.
It's too bad.
And ultimately, it didn't really matter to me.
That's too bad. You seem like a very nice lady when I've seen you on the show, but it seems to me, and don't take this as a slam, I would say the same thing about myself. You know, stranger to the low road. Sometimes to win, you got to go to the low road. I think you got it in you. I mean, it's like a heavyweight fight. You didn't go below the belt. And you should have beaten the guy. You should have knocked him out.
Mm-hmm.
But in a case like that, you got to maybe go below the belt.
Sure, why not?
Anyway, are you pissed? Are you pissed that you lost?
You know, I'm pissed that I'm lost because I like to win and I'm used to winning. I'm a competitive person. But you know, after watching the show last night, after realizing kind of what went down, you know, it was illuminating to me. I think the Trump Organization, they need to really rethink why they can't hire smart women, why they have, you know, one token woman in Carolyn Koepcher.
There you go, I tell you.
And they keep on hiring the same, you know, male clones.
After last night, mm-hmm. I think it's a TV show, but hey, I think Trump might be very surprised at some of the fallout because of last night's episode. Because I was thinking the same thing. There's another little clone for the guy.
And Jennifer, last thing before we let our callers get a hold of you, and everybody's got questions about that. And thank you for coming on because this is like the only radio interview.
Pleasure.
The only radio interview that you're doing. The guy that won last year, when Trump called him up, he looked to me like a cold fish. He looked like he didn't have any confidence. Do you think that after a year, if that guy's not performing, Trump will unceremoniously dump him for the new flavor of the month? And did you get a feeling that guy Bill Rancic had it together last night?
You know, it's interesting because at the after party, I saw Bill and I saw Kwame, and Kwame looked a hell of a lot better than Bill.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for, right?
Yeah, Kwame looked like he had a ton of confidence. He's got many, many great things going on. Bill looked a bit washed up and feeble and, you know, probably way too used to just towing the line with Mr. Trump. And I think that's the position he's going to fall into.
How could he not have picked you? Listen to the stones this woman's got.
If, you know, we can read between the lines, Jennifer, I think what you're saying is probably true. You're going to do just fine.
Yeah.
Trust me. I think that, you know, really, when you get to that level, I think people are probably going to be knocking down your door.
All the lines are jammed. Everybody wants to talk to Jen. Let's go to Becky. Becky, hi. You're on with Jennifer.
Hey, Don, Mike. Hey,
hi.
Jen. I just want to say congratulations, because I thought you did a really good job, and you should have won last night. And
thank you so much.
Yeah, from the beginning, when they started doing all those interviews with Kelly's entourage or Kelly's people, that's what I thought, but he already made his mind up. Did you think that too?
You know, absolutely. I mean, it was a lot of older white men that were interviewing us in our interviews, and they seemed very partial. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, they definitely seemed to be of an old school slant where they really favored someone that had a military background, had been at West Point.
Come on out, Bill.
Really,
let's have the five martini lunch, Bill. Come on, yeah.
The white guy that was in the war. Yeah.
They're looking at a 37-year-old guy. I mean, first of all, you know, I thought Trump was looking for a youthful apprentice, not an aging executive.
Is she good? She's full of piss and vinegar.
Boy, I'm scared of you already.
Hold on here.
We've only had you on the show for about 7 minutes.
Here is Pete in Buffalo. Pete, you're on with Jennifer.
Gentlemen, it's an honor. Hey, Jennifer, I think you're great, and I loved you as an Eminem sister and a Levi's girl.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think Kelly's a bit sweet. What say you?
Well, you know, I wouldn't venture there. I really chose not to get personal with Kelly on any level.
Right. Well, you know, the Army has that thing, you know, don't ask, don't tell.
Well, let me just say, too, I think that Kelly has really coasted on that military record for far too long, and there's people that are way more deserving of that. Kelly was actually...
Oh, you're great. You're great. You say all the stuff the reality people never say when they come off these shows.
Absolutely.
Well, let me tell you, Kelly was, you know, graduated from West Point. Instead of giving the typical 5 years of service, he gave 2, and then spent the rest of his time at UCLA graduate school. So, you know, the 2 years that he did spend were in the Pentagon pushing paper. So Kelly was not out there leading the troops like he was, you know, like everyone to believe.
I love it.
Well, hold on. Let's get a couple more. Here's Paul. Paul, you're on with Jennifer.
Hey, Don, Mike, Jennifer, how are you?
Okay.
Hey, Paul, hey. How's it going?
Hey, Jennifer. Last night was a great show. I thought you and Kelly were equally as good. My one question was, and this is off the subject of The Apprentice, but why you didn't pose for the Maxim cover like all the other girls did?
Well, you know, Paul, I am at heart, I'm a businesswoman. I've got some good credentials under my belt. I went to Princeton, Harvard Law School, and I really just didn't want to compromise that. I felt like down the road I would regret that decision, and, you know, it's a choice that other women make, and that's fine, but it wasn't one for me.
Man, do you have your act together.
Hold on.
Seriously, I mean, you know, I would have liked to see you maybe handle some election coverage.
Here is Brian. Brian, you're on with Jennifer.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
I'm wondering if they prepared you in advance for the thrashing that they gave you pretty much last night.
Absolutely not.
When Mark Burnett decides to throw you under a bus, he is coming.
Wow.
So. Oh, you're great.
I just get the impression we're going to see a little more of this lady, I do believe.
Now, listen, when you go out and they put you on the whole gravy tour next week, and I know you don't get as much as Kelly does, but you're going to make the rounds. Are you going to be as outspoken when you go on, you know, whatever, the Today Show or Oprah or...
You know, I started a lot of that today. I was on the Today Show. I was on Tony Danza. You know, I was still in a little bit of shock this morning and very tired from being out late. But as the day warmed up, I was on, Power Lunch, CNBC Power Lunch, and then also on Fox News. And I really talked a lot about the same issues I'm talking about with you guys now, which is I felt like the whole thing was very orchestrated. I felt like, you know, Trump was gearing up for a Kelly coronation a long time ago, and that based on editorial decisions that, you know, I was not going to be the winner last night.
Well,
so.
You know, let me ask this question then. It's you know, on the other side, for Donald Trump, I would say if they don't prepare you when, as you said, Mark Burnett's going to throw somebody under the bus. Would the same be true of you're not prepped for, you know, they don't exactly tell you what to say when you're going to go on any of these interview shows?
Oh, no way. You know, they definitely do not tell us what to say.
Okay.
You know, we're all under a contract. I can't, you know, reveal secrets of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But I can talk about my impressions. And,
okay.
And obviously, I feel like, you know, they definitely did me a disservice last night. And so I feel like I can be candid today and tell the truth of what's going on.
Yeah, a breath of fresh air.
Okay, one more. And this is the guy's been waiting the longest. This guy's been waiting over 20 minutes now.
Oh, goodness.
Mike. Hello, Mike. You're last to talk to Jennifer. Mike.
Hey, thank you for getting me on. Hi, Don and Mike.
No
Hi,
problem,
Jen.
Dude.
How
Go
you
ahead.
Doing?
Hey, Mike.
Great. First of all, two comments. One, Trump's decision was as messed up as his hair. My main problem was...
Very messed up, I can tell you. When he paused and was looking at me about to tell me I was fired, it was very distracting just looking at that hair.
I can only imagine.
Girl.
I mean, my whole problem was that Kelly seemed way too passive-aggressive. He never wanted to step up to the plate and actually tell somebody, hey, look, shut the hell up. I'm in charge here. And you, by the other token, were an absolute pit bull in supermodel's clothing. I mean, it was beautiful, especially in the boardroom.
A fan.
And my main question was, besides regular professional self-control, how did you keep from smacking Ivana upside the head? What a slut.
It was hard. I mean, if there's anybody I wanted to throttle, it was Ivana. But, you know, again, I just kept reminding myself, well, first of all, I draw upon my southern roots. I was raised in Georgia, and so I was taught to, you know, always be a lady, and Ivana definitely pushed that to the outer edges.
Ultimately,
I just kept saying, you know what, she's her own worst enemy. She's going to eliminate herself, and I have to concentrate on my own game. So that was my strategy.
Mm. Jennifer, you know, we've had all these reality people on.
You moved to the head of the class.
You are the first. Right. And we think great things will happen for you based on this. And you get out there and say the same stuff you're saying.
Really? I mean, this is really impressive. And it's not the same stuff you always hear.
Right.
And it's been a refreshing opportunity to talk.
And really, you should have won. You kicked his ass. But you'll have a great life. And thanks for coming on our show.
Hey, thanks, guys, so much. You were awesome. And thanks to all the great callers out there. I appreciate it.
All right, Jennifer. Good luck, Jennifer. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
How good was that? That's the first time we've ever had somebody from a reality show on. She's saying Trump's a jerk.
Yeah. She just had her... I mean, think about somebody who just has their act together. I you know, no BS, right to the point with the questions. I enjoyed that. I really did.
Okay, we're up on a break right now.
I bet she will never sell her teeth for heroin. Never.
No, probably not. You know, when we're gushing, he takes care of that, doesn't he?
Thanks, Rob.
Good job, Rob.
I'm sitting back at Rob like, wow, she's great. Rob's looking at me like... I think people are listening to this garbage.
But where does he put his two hams together? You hear the applause as soon as Tony Danza.
That's what he likes. Yeah. We got a break. Be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, we've got to find that money.
I know, good deal.
Uncle Billy, look, do you realize what's going to happen if we don't find it? Listen to me. Do you have any secret hiding place here in the house? Someplace you hide the money?
I've gone over the whole house, even in rooms that have been locked.
Hit him.
Listen to me. Thank you.
Cry, Uncle Billy.
You always get mad at Uncle Billy, Mike.
I can't listen anymore.
Where's that money, you silly, stupid old fool?
Yeah.
Where's that money?
Give it to him.
Do you realize what this means?
Yep.
It means bankruptcy and scandal and prison.
Uncle Billy.
That's what it means.
Right.
One of us is going to jail. Well, it's not going to be me.
I love it. It's funny.
Stupid man.
This is Jeremy Coleman speaking for the Don and Mike Show. Happy Christmas and a Merry New Year from Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, and 98.1 WPEK.
Did I hit him?
Oh, we've got to find that money.
Okay. This is Jeremy Coleman speaking.
What's happening?
He wouldn't go down the first time.
Not easily.
God, I hate Uncle Billy. I can't believe I said that.
I know.
I think he would. Go down the first time.
You wouldn't have to use a bullet.
And have a dart. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, I know what we got to do.
Blow hard.
We got to catch up. And I don't mean catch up, I mean catch up. We got to make this a... Now we got plenty of time, I was saying. That's a normal size break. Mike, we have no one for Rich Eisen today. So...
We have no one... Oh,
I mean, we have
no special tape to play for.
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to call the hotline now. And we're not doing the full blown bit.
Right.
But it would be great if you'd pick up the phone.
Okay.
And we can record you pretending to be Regis.
Oh, this always works.
And see if we can fool Rich Eisen with the tape of Mike. There, I've dialed the number.
Hello?
Okay. Are we rolling tape in the other room?
How are you?
Because what we have to make it appear is that this is like in the context of a regular broadcast.
Uh-huh.
How are you?
Just say, and Regis, finally, congratulations on... okay, here's where we'll pick it up. On my mark. Mark. Regis, again, congratulations on being on the Dick Clark Show.
Thank you, Donna, Michael. Always a pleasure. To have you guys, I can do for you.
The last thing I wanted to ask you, do you know who Rich Eisen is?
I don't.
Oh, come on. Yes, you do. He's on the NFL Network.
Rich Eisen?
He used to be. God, that's embarrassing.
I'm not sure.
He used to be on ESPN. Listen.
Rich Eisen.
He's the
sports guy.
Yeah, now, he's going to be on our
show. I think I remember that.
He's going to be on our show. Would you say, this is Regis Philbin,
okay.
Rich Eisen is a jerk?
Sure. There we go. 3, 2, 1. Hi, folks. This is Regis Philbin. I don't know him very well, but I understand he's got nice eyes. But he's a jerk. I'm talking about Rich Eisen. Yeah, that's right. Regis telling you he's a jerk. How's that? Did I do all right for you? Hold on a second. Michael? Michael, I've got a cramp in my thigh. Would you rub it out?
Okay. Thanks, Reed.
Hey, always a pleasure.
Okay,
did you see me on the Trumps this show?
I did. You suck.
I did a great job, didn't I?
You might as well have given him a prostate exam.
Boy, you really aced it there. That's what I'd really like to do.
I know. Is Michael
Christmas to you?
Is Michael Milken?
You don't have 8 millions of milking.
No, I have anesthesia medicine I'm on, and I'm having some difficulty with cramping, and when I do, Michael comes over, and he rubs it out.
Listen,
and he rubs out the knots and the kink.
That's nice.
Eat one, old man. We got to go.
Hey, pound sand.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah, hello?
Mike.
Yeah, hi.
I just like talking to you like you're Mike. Okay.
Yeah, how you doing? Listen, I'm not feeling well. I won't be coming in today. I'm in the hospital.
Okay, come on, hang up.
Thanks so much. I just want to say I really love the show. And how much does it cost to produce? No, I'll go by.
That's a good question. How much does it cost? How much?
Oh,
I don't know.
He hurt himself.
What happened? What happened? What happened?
One of the, like, 17-million-pound oak doors that we have with the equipment that just sits here and lies out here because people don't have the initiative to put them back. Just cut my leg open.
Good heavens, you're bleeding.
I'd file a workers' comp claim.
Look at this.
That's safe.
Oh, come on. You know what? You gave it up for the show, and maybe we can fool Rich Eisen with that.
Yeah.
I think that was strong enough that we can play that tape.
I don't know about
the
front part. I think I took away. Sometimes I take a bit of a 5 second beat before I get into the voice, and I don't know if it sounded too much like now at the beginning.
No. How are you? You know, it's like that. I think we'll cut past that. We'll just go right to the part with. Hi, this is 321.
All right, very good.
Spielman. Now, bear with me. I'm going to go.
Now, are we going to reveal it to him, or are we going to keep him in the dark? You haven't decided
we'll
yet.
See. No, I've not.
Okay, very good.
See, I email Rich every. Well, let's be honest. I email him every day. He very rarely writes me back. Oh, he only writes back on Fridays,
right?
When it's something to do with the show. Uh-huh. You know, otherwise, you know, I send him emails like, "Dear Rich, saw the show tonight. You really should buy some better hose." You know, I hate to see Rich Eisen on TV when he crosses his legs and you see that bit of skin.
Boy, oh boy, he's going to think you're a stalker.
But your eyes were sparkly.
Yeah, so I send him those emails constantly. No, I'm kidding. I write him one email a week about, like, games to pick. We I go back and forth on that, and I wrote, P.S., we'll have a special celeb for you today.
Very good.
So, being as we didn't have one, I'm glad you could help out. And
absolutely.
If we fool him,
excellent.
We fool him, we'll tell him.
Sure.
Tell him next year when we're back in 2005.
I thought you were going to ask for George Lopez.
2005.
Hello, Mr. Eisen. This is George Lopez.
Next time,
if you got the blues.
Now,
give me a break.
I still got all that stuff. Like, you know, this thing, I hope we go south on these George Lopez tapes.
Right.
I mean, I hope we do. We're not sick of them yet.
No.
And I got the feeling we come back from our hiatus, and we're still not going to be sick of them.
You might be right about that.
You should see these.
Traffic and weather every 10 minutes on Sports Radio WDA.
These numbers can't be right. Can I lose half my audience in 3 days?
Half my audience in 3 days.
Christmas classic.
What's going on?
Here's the best one. You're on with the bum. Pete, if you're out there, call back.
You're on with the bum.
Hey, can you believe Dion Bailey did it again? My man hit a three-pointer at the buzzer to win the game.
Actually, bum, I'm feeling kind of blue.
Well, then change your shirt, Paul. Does anybody out there want to talk sports?
And now no one's calling.
They got a shot of the telephones and all the lines are not ringing.
Dead.
I'm sorry. Paul, if you're still listening, call back. Okay? You can tell me all about your blues and...
Oops, and I'll tell you about mine.
Okay,
I'm running out of time. This is the last chance to get these in before the end of the year.
Okay.
I'm
going to
go rapid fire on this.
Quick.
Okay, Lisa Marie Presley, you mark my words, she is in financial trouble.
Really?
She has sold Graceland and a lot of EAP, the controlling stake in Elvis Presley Enterprises.
Wow.
Or EPE.
She's keeping the house.
Yeah, the Graceland itself.
Anyway, imagine this. It's Elvis and everything that goes along with marketing Elvis, including Elvis wine, Elvis wigs, Elvis suits. She sold 85% of everything Elvis for $100 million. Now, you tell me something, Jack.
Man.
Does that sound like she might have some financial troubles?
Over the past 2 years, and I keep track of this stuff, they've generated like $65 million. Just in the last 2 years.
Wow.
So I don't know. Is she smart like her old man?
I don't know, but that, man, that sounds to me...
That's an awful lot to give away.
When we say she's keeping the house and the revenue that the house will...
No, she's just keeping Graceland like it's her house.
She's letting this new company run the tours and everything.
Okay.
She just owns the house.
Oh, okay.
It's like she signed away all the good stuff that comes with being Elvis's daughter.
Wow.
The chance to make the money on the shampoo and
all
the glasses.
And you know,
I don't get that because, I mean, that would be a cash cow for forever.
Forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So anyway, wanted to mention that. Also, Michael Jackson is having problems with Debbie Rowe, the girl who allegedly gave him a couple of those kids.
She's a handsome woman.
She is. Anyway, she's suing him now because she wants to see Prince Michael.
Of course.
And they're hiding that. Oliver Stone. I read this today. This is great. The movie Alexander came out. No one goes to see it.
Yeah, with Colin Farrell.
Here's why. Oliver Stone. Where did I read this today? New York something or other. It's because Americans are stupid. People in America are so apathetic to ancient history.
They're just stupid.
They don't study the classics like they do in Europe. So there's a significant difference in reaction. I know this. I've seen this movie open in 12 foreign countries in the last month, 12 super openings. Nothing like stupid American audiences.
Wow.
Hey, dude.
Yeah.
Listen,
come on,
I didn't see the movie. All I tell you is, first, I understand it was, you know, not that I have a problem with it, you know, it was gayer
rather gay
than the shirt Morris Jones had on.
Hey, Oliver Stone, one word for you, Braveheart.
Even my wife, who loves all that crap, she said, this is like the worst movie I've ever seen. 3.5 hours of junk.
William Wallace was a far more obscure historical figure than Alexander the Great.
It's because we're stupid.
And Mel Gibson kicked ass.
It's because we're stupid. Here's your new word of the day. This is going to be new for 2005. Gallimony.
Gallimony?
Gallimony is when two lesbos get together.
Uh-huh.
And they're not married and they decide to get divorced. I told you that Ellen DeGenitals had broken up with her girlfriend for
and
that.
Now she's with Portia de Rossi.
DeRossi.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Alexandria, how do I pronounce his last name? But she's on Arrested Development. Or no, the girl on Arrested Development.
Portia DeRossi.
That's the one Ellen DeGeneres left the other girlfriend for.
Right.
The other girlfriend says, now she wants part of Ellen's pie.
Oh.
Ellen's financial pie.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
In exchange for getting kicked out of that.
Gallimony. I understand.
Gallimony. Part of Ellen's pie.
Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit break.
Thank you.
Later we'll have some f***ing pie.
Okay. Barbra Streisand had a polyp removed from her colon.
Oh, dear.
I tasted it. It's fine.
Everything's okay?
She's fine. Don't worry about it.
You like the gummy bears.
Give her the old chew test. Lyco's top internet search terms for 2004. Number one was Janet Jackson with her boob, of course. Then Paris Hilton. Number three, Clay Aiken.
Clay Aiken?
Yep. Right. Number four, Britney Spears. And number five, Nick Berg. That poor son of a bitch that got his head cut off.
Oh, dear.
That's what's happening there. Sharon Stone is suing some doctor, plastic surgeon. She says she never got a facelift. Believe it if you want to. According to EmpirePoker.com, the majority of people in the world would like to play poker with Pam Anderson. She's the number one choice. Number two is Dennis Rodman, followed by James Woods and Tony Hawk.
Wow.
This is for
Michael Mara.
Goody. I've been saving this for weeks. Oh. It's a right-handed man's world. Scissors are built for the right hand.
Mm-hmm.
Handshakes are done with the right hand. Arm wrestling championships. Rock, paper, scissors. Right hand. With all these disadvantages, why are 10% of our people still left-handed? Listen to this. Researchers at the University of Montpellier, thank you, in France, they say lefties are still prominent, even though they're such a small percentage, like Mike, because they're better suited for the aggression and fighting of the American society.
Mm-hmm.
And left-handed people will survive in a violent society more than right-handed people, and here's why.
So what's your
point? Our brains assume that anyone we fight will attack us with their right
hand.
From
the right.
We are accustomed to fighting people who favor the right hand, so lefties have an instant advantage.
And don't any of you ever forget it.
You know, Julia is left-handed, and Robert might be left-handed as well. Both
really?
My kids.
Wow.
And they fight like dogs.
and
violent.
America West is offering a 10% discount to gay flyers.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fantastic.
Keep that and
I'm here for my discount.
And then I've got a picture that I guess we'll try to put up on the website. This is from Melbourne, Australia. This is an embarrassing mistake. It's a picture of flowers for a Christmas and a Hanukkah celebration.
Okay.
And you just have to look at the picture. They say they didn't do it on purpose, but it sure did end up like swastikas.
Oh, my God, it does. That's not good.
That's not. But anyway, that's...
And red and white.
That's a visual joke. Oh. And then here's your feel-good today. Highland Park, Michigan. A man visited a middle school dressed as Santa Claus and left yesterday arrested for pot. The 40-year-old Detroit man faces up to 90 days in jail after they found pot in the pocket of his Santa coat.
Oh, no.
Deputy who works at the school found the pot while searching the coat for ID after a teacher found it in the bathroom. The man, dressed as Santa Claus, came up to the cops and said, "Hey, dude, that's my coat." Then they said, "We found pot in here." And he said, "It's not my pot.
It's Santa's coat."
Then his wife, who works as his helper, when they go to these schools, she takes pictures of the kids.
She buys his weed.
The wife says she didn't know this, and the cops say she was not happy. It was going to be a long ride back to the North Pole.
Yes, sir.
That's the best I could do for a feel-good tonight.
The North Pole were there night and day making black lights and greenhouses.
It's fine. Nobody like falling off a tree and killing themselves putting up lights or anything. That'll be after the holiday.
But now we know to leave out Fritos, Cheetos, and graham crackers for Santa Claus. Right.
So that's all I got for you this week.
Fantastic.
We'll get the Regis tape queued up. We'll come right back with Rich Eisen and NFL Week, whatever it is.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. Not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
They can ruin a perfectly good, quiet Don and Mike.
Yeah, we can. It's time for Rich Eisen now. Rich is brought to us by Tower Records at Tower.com. No one has a bigger selection of the music and movies you love than Tower. Rich is the host of NFL Total Access every night at 7 and 10 on the NFL Network. Hey, Rich. Hey, now.
How are you guys doing?
We are doing fantastic. It's our last show before the end of the year.
Oh, boy. It's touching. Do your end of the year show?
We laugh, we cry.
Oh, yeah. I get cloudy on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, Rich, you know, big fan I am of you, and I think you're great on this show. You're great on your show, you're great on this show. Mm-hmm. And today, we're going to talk football after some other stuff. Would you like the chance, Rich, to give away $1,000?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, now, everybody
I was born to give away cash.
Okay. Start calling now. And later, in a couple minutes, we'll have Rich take some calls, and you just be totally subjective.
Whoever strikes your fancy, Rich.
And don't feel bad about telling the first guy to pound sand or
absolutely.
Girl.
Well, I don't understand. What's the criteria?
The criteria will be you will say hello, and they will say hello, and if you like them, you keep them.
If I feel the vibe?
If you feel the vibe, you dole out the cash.
So whoever best kisses my ass gets
That might be a good suggestion.
Wow, that's
right.
Great criteria, guys.
All right. Right. Okay. Before that, on NFL Total Access, I saw you had a guy in the Fantasy League, your Hollywood Fantasy League, Nick Bakay.
Yes.
And I have to mention, I bet he doesn't remember me.
Okay.
But I want to tell you
the skinny little mustache.
Yeah, he's kind of fat like we are.
Okay.
Here's the deal with Nick Bakay. Do you remember when I did the Redskins pregame show?
Mm-hmm.
And I had it when ESPN News first came on the air.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I had a chance. I went up there and auditioned. And actually, for 3 weekends, they ran like these little, they were supposed to be comedy skit pieces, like my inane, moronic thoughts on the NFL. And they ran them, I think, for 3 weeks. And then they told me, listen, you stink. You're awful. We don't have a place for this on ESPN News. They were just starting it up. But that guy, Nick Bakay, was a big help to me.
he went, when I went up to Bristol, for whatever reason, he was hanging around. And then I met him again because we were on the set of King of Queens.
Yeah, he writes for King of Queens.
Right, and I saw him, and I said, hey, I met you at ESPN. You helped me out with some segments that really sucked. And he looked at me like, I have never met you before in my life.
No,
dude.
Kidding. He's one of the nicest guys.
He is, and he truly is funny. And for someone like me, you know, all he said was, don't worry about what you're saying. Don't look at the prompter. Just go with what you think is funny. You only got 90 seconds to fill. And I remember one thing he said. He said, if you really suck, you're not going to last more than a couple of weeks, so go ahead and give it a try. And as it turns out, he was right. It was like a three-week
experiment. That's 3 weeks.
So please.
He's really funny. He's got a great mind. And, you know, when he and Paul Rudd in our fantasy league, like most people play fantasy football, probably came down to this Monday's game. You know, I'm sure most fantasy leagues just had their last week of regular season football.
Yeah, ours did, right.
And came down to Monday night's game, and he had Derek Mason and Paul Rudd had Trent Green, and we called up Nick on the set of King of Queens or in the writer's room, and he didn't have a TV in front of him, so he sort of called the play-by-play the last 90 seconds, and, you know, it was pretty neat. And we told him we'd like him to come in like 2 days and handicap the actual playoffs that he didn't make.
Funny.
He came up with him like a
good episode of your show.
The preparation that he did for that was amazing.
Mike, listen,
I mean, because I saw that, and he's a talented guy. Because I was watching the show again.
They're very good, Mike. the thing that I'm most proud of my work on the Don and Mike show is your transformation. Quite frankly,
thank you very much.
The caterpillar to the butterfly.
Thank you.
And the one thing this guy, Nick Bakay, said, he's talking about some of the guy in this Hollywood fantasy league. He said, he's the Duke of the Dutch Oven.
Yeah, I remember that one, right?
The Dutch Oven.
And that's why it's great.
Was he like the Greek? Didn't he call himself the Greek?
Yeah, he was Nick the Not-So-Greek.
Nick the Not-So-Greek.
My favorite thing was he said that the Raiders, the Chiefs defense had given up more ground than the French Army. That was my favorite line that he came up with.
He's a funny dude, and he doesn't remember me from Adam, but if you get a chance, just say,
I will.
You remember?
He's going to come in next week and bring his shtick again to handicap our final. I mean, we'd be foolish not to have him come back.
He is great. Let's see. Rich, also we have a celebrity greeting for you this week.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
my gosh.
The parade continues.
Still reverberating with all my friends.
Now, this one I think you'll be pretty happy with. I'll tell you, giving you a lead, in that today on the show we had Three Dog Night, the loser from The Apprentice, and then this next person who's going to be taking over for Dick Clark on New Year's Rock.
Regis Philbin.
Can we roll, please, for Rich Eisen?
3, 2, 1. Hi, folks, this is Regis Philbin. I don't know him very well, but I understand he's got nice eyes. But he's a jerk. I'm talking about Rich Eisen. Yeah, that's right. Regis telling you he's a jerk.
And?
There he goes.
Impressed?
I mean, I'm stunned. I'm absolutely stunned that some legends of television, Shatner and Diller and Philbin.
And
for you.
Philbin, for you, baby.
My gosh, guys, I can't thank you enough, and you're spiking my name recognition with all these people by having them call me a jerk. It's great.
Yeah.
All right, now let's...
Wonderful.
Okay, we have to tell him now, because our idiot callers will tell him.
Yes.
Rich, the other ones, William Shatner, Phyllis Diller, all those, JB, David Modell, those were all real.
Real.
We didn't have one this week. That was Mike pretending to be Rufus.
Oh, that's one.
That's our Christmas prank.
Sorry.
Can I hear the fake Regis one more time?
Hi, how are you? Rich Eisen, it's great to be with you.
Hold on, here it is over the phone.
All right, here we go.
Because, you know, Mike can do these things for you all the time if you want them. Here it is.
3, 2, 1. Hi, folks, this is Regis Philbin. I don't know him very well, but I understand he's got nice eyes. But he's a jerk. I'm talking about Rich Eisen. Yeah, that's right. Regis telling you he's a jerk.
So we would have fooled you with that.
Well, if you played it for me one more time, I'd realize somebody Mike, peyote and helium or something.
Do George Lopez and see if you would have fooled Richard George Lopez.
Hey, I've got to say right now, you're incredible, Rich Eisen. I'm an enormous fan. I really just like to say, everybody watch Rich's show on NFL. It's fantastic. I watch it every week.
without
wow,
him.
Georgian studio.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty good stuff. I really
I mean the cast of thousands.
And I know,
but I definitely know that was definitely Phyllis Diller. That's
yes. No, that one's true. Yes, Phyllis Diller true. William Shatner true. The other one just we didn't have anybody. This
yeah, we had to pull that one out of our hat, and then we decided we'd do the Christmas prank.
Give him some Harry Morgan.
Very well,
I'd like to say Harry Morgan here. Hi, Rich Eisen. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah. And a Happy New Year.
Wow, Colonel Potter coming
out. Yeah. See, Rob, the big the TV history. Yeah,
there we go. Kermit Potter.
Right. Bought a goat farm. Moved to Ukiah. All right.
Rich, are you ready to talk to your adoring public?
Sure. And somebody gets to win a grand if I like them.
That's correct. And feel free, Rich, to just be a swinging, you know, I mean, if
we
you,
do it all the time.
Just say, if you don't like this person,
sure,
move on.
It's all you,
oh,
Rich.
Boy, what a responsibility I've
Let's
given.
Let's start with Dean in Green Bay. Dean, you're on with Rich.
Don and Mike, Radio Gods. Rich Eisen, how you doing?
How you doing, Dean?
Good. Hey, question for you regarding fantasy football.
See, now, Rich, right now, you could just say, get rid of this loser.
No, I'm curious as to what Dean would like to know.
Okay.
First of all, I'd just like to ask, about a month ago, I made a fantasy football trade for a guy in our league that traded Donovan McNabb for Tom Brady and David Gibbons.
Yeah.
Just kind of wondering what's going on with New England. I'm not getting any response out of it. I'm getting, you know, fair to moderate.
Rich, hold on a second. Rich, are you feeling this guy at all?
No.
No, of course not.
Come on, not really. Rich. But to answer Dean's question, didn't Brady and Gibbons hook up on a near 50-yarder last week, or was that Patton?
No, Rich,
all I know is Tom Brady's favorite receiver is Sirius Satellite Radio, I think.
Here is Cheryl in Iowa with Rich Eisen. Cheryl.
Yes, hey, Don, Mike, Radio Gods, Mr. Eisen, happy holidays. It's
Thank
great
you.
To speak with you. Hey, Mr. Eisen, as a long-time Colts fan, do you think my buddy Peyton Manning's going to do it for me this year? Do you think we're going to go to the big show?
How's those testosterone shots going for you, honey?
Oh,
Cheryl, how's that going for you?
They're doing good. Hey, I love you guys, and it's just an honor to be on. But really, what do you think?
I don't believe it's going to happen for you.
There you go, Rich. My guy, let's go to Jim in the great state of
Maine. I was talking about the Colts. I mean, it's tough for the Colts to do it. They may, but I don't know.
Well, that's two disappointments in one call for her.
That's true.
Here's Jim in Maine. Jim.
Somebody's got to come away with the cash here.
Hello, Jim.
How you doing, Don and Mike?
We're doing great. And Rich Eisen.
How you doing, Rich?
I'm fine, Jim. How are you?
Wonderful. How about your day on Jim Rome? Are you looking forward to that?
Yes, that's coming up in a week, I think.
And unfortunately, we have to make to make the call here because that's mentioning another radio show, which is.
I was about to say that. Isn't that a major faux pas?
Rule violation.
It's cool if we do it, but not cool if they do it. And that guy was just trying to jerk our chains. Let's. I love hanging up on him. Here's Lynn in Delaware. Lynn.
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Don't you just want to cancel her out right now, Rich?
No, Lynn sounds very nice.
All right, very good.
Oh.
You're still alive, Lynn.
And Rich Eisen, sports and football god. Nobody's told you that yet, have they?
Don't you want to throw her back, Rich?
We're helping Rich here.
What's with your listening public here, guys?
They're retarded, Rich.
I mean, count our gray hairs.
Here's Pat in Buffalo. Pat.
Hey, Don and Mike. Rich, what's happening?
How are you doing, Pat?
I'm doing fantastic. I think you're a comedic genius when it comes to the television commercials. I really enjoy them.
Get him $1,000.
Winner! You are so easy!
Yeah,
buddy, that's the way to kiss.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
That $1,000 came off faster than a prom dress. I swear to God.
Boom, that's it.
He's done.
Wow.
All right,
that came correct.
That's right.
Pat in Buffalo, 92.9.
Correct.
WBUF. Big Bills fan. Pat, enjoy your $1,000. Now, Pat, do you really enjoy Rich?
I really enjoy Rich. I'm not honestly, I'm not that big of a football fan, but I love his commercials.
Thanks.
I know that sounds lame to you.
No, it doesn't. I think that's right on the money and very keen analysis.
It sure is.
That's incredibly lame.
I love it.
I'm really not a football fan, but I love your commercial.
Hey, I love it.
It was
unfortunately, he thinks I'm Bob Lee.
After four missed Super Bowls, it's kind of football gets sour up here, you know.
No, mm-hmm. You know, hang in there, pal.
All right,
you
Pat.
You still got a few weeks to go here.
Yeah.
Pat, just shut up and take your money.
Attaboy.
Thank you. Hold on, Pat.
If Pat stay on the air any longer, we might take it away.
It's time for androgyny. It's just Pat.
Edward, it was very nice of you to attempt to answer those dumb, like, fantasy questions. Very Rich, nice. I'm thinking of starting Tiki Barber this weekend.
Is Peyton Manning going to do it for me?
Okay, let's pick the games and let Rich go.
Fantasy football is one hair's breadth above Dungeons & Dragons.
I could not agree more. Amen, brother.
But it is very popular, and we must address it here on NFL Network.
Shut up. I love it.
It's the land
the
of
only
the nerd.
The only thing that's missing is if you have to, whatever Tiki Barber did depended on the roll of a 20-sided die.
That's the only difference. I want to tell you something, Isaac. You're mocking it, but you're mocking the hand that feeds you, boy.
Yes, I learned from you two guys. Listen to what you just treated your listeners.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And that was a good crop.
And that's 20 years of that.
All right, Rich, let's pick these five games this week.
Right.
Here we go.
Starting with the Saturday night game, Carolina at Atlanta.
I'm going to take Carolina. Oh, what are you doing, Rich? You got to go somewhere?
That's your echo.
No, I'm sitting here.
Sorry, I had a little skip there. That's what
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, there seemed to be a little, I don't know. One of you guys need a lozenge or something? I don't know what's going
on. I think we're okay.
Carolina at Atlanta. I do believe Carolina needs it more. I'll take Carolina.
Take the Falcons.
Wow. Fascinating.
Thank you.
Baltimore at Indianapolis. The big game.
Fascinating. I love your commercial. Baltimore at Indianapolis. Hate to go against the Ravens. There's no way Peyton Manning doesn't throw for whatever he needs to. Mike, I'm taking the Colts.
Peyton Manning is hitting his stride. You got to go with the Colts. Can't argue with you there.
Seattle at the Jets.
And you're right, Rich. It was at. Rich sent me a note this morning. I got that wrong. It was the other way around. Mm-hmm. Show off. Jets. Seattle's the weakest team in the NFC playoff hunt, I think. I'll take the Jets.
It's going to be one of those one-game weeks for us. I go with the Jets also.
All right. Buffalo at Cincinnati.
Big win for Buffalo.
I'm not trying to agree with you, but I like the Buffalo Bills.
Well, it could be. It's just the beginning of a great weekend for Pat. Then,
mm-hmm, absolutely, Pat's going to be a happy man. Yeah, it's going to reinvigorate his interest in the NFL.
Yeah.
And one more.
Denver at Kansas City.
Yes, the Kansas City Chiefs. I thought Denver was lucky to win last week.
Mike. No. I'm going to go with Denver just because I want to be different, and that's
good.
When I usually fail.
Good. Wow. Well, you smoked me last week. Rich, that's it. You're off the hook. We'll talk to you in 2005.
Yeah, Happy New Year and the holidays.
And again, same to you. And, Rich, now you're going to have the crazy schedule with all the games on Saturdays.
Oh, yeah, we're on live right after the games on Saturday. Anytime there's a Saturday slate in the playoffs, as soon as the games are over, if the last game's over, I will be sitting here live with Rod Woodson, Terrell Davis, or Lincoln Kennedy. And this Saturday, it's Rod Woodson and Terrell Davis.
Also, I should point out, after Monday Night Football.
That's correct.
That's a damn good show. I stay up and watch.
See, Mike, you should have known that.
I
was right there.
Well, I did. It's right after Monday Night Football.
Still got a ways to go, Mike.
I know. I'll be working on it.
All right, Rich, listen, you have a great holiday. We're huge fans, and we could not be prouder that you're on our show every week.
Yeah. And likewise, this is a lot of fun, and now I'm giving away cash and prizes, and on the business end of fake salutations from Regis Philbin.
There you go. Regis says, hey, Rich, have a great holiday. We'll talk to you at 05.
You got it. Take it easy.
See you later.
All righty.
That's Rich Eisen, everybody. That's fun.
That's my man. Isn't he great?
That's fun. And I thought there was a little hesitation there with the Regis Philbin. Didn't think we got him, but we got him.
We got him good. Rich is brought to you by Tower Records and Tower.com. Tower is your only source for music and movies. Every store is staffed with experts who will help you find your next CD or DVD. New releases from Eminem, Destiny's Child, Shania Twain's Greatest Hits, and more. Relax through your holiday shopping at Tower. Tower has the stuff everybody wants. If you're not sure, give a Tower gift card, buy online, or find your local store at Tower.com. Tower Records, everything worth giving is here. Rich is on the NFL Network, NFL Total Access, every night at 7 and 10 o'clock. If you don't get it, call your local cable or satellite provider and go to NFL.com. Also, Rich has a big picture on the front page of DonAndMikeWebsite.com.
Wonderful.
And he gave away the money, and he's funny, and he knows about the football, and we fooled him with the Regis.
Yeah.
And that means that the last show before Christmas
is
nearly complete.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly complete.
Nearly.
Of course, all the shows are complete with Buzz's news and comments.
Right.
One last thing.
One other thing.
We got a break first.
You don't want to just bring him in to say hi?
I don't know how he's feeling.
He's still upset, you know.
I'm not sure how he's feeling either.
Uh-oh. I think we better wait and let Mike take a throat lozenge or a cup of tea or something.
You might be right. Oh, surprise.
No, listen, everybody.
I fooled all of you.
The traditional Hamburger James story.
No.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Come on up. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho.
My mind had gone blank. Frantically, I tried to remember what it was I wanted. I was blowing it.
Come on, kid. How about a nice football?
Football? Oh, no. What was I doing? Wake up, stupid. Wake up. No.
No, I wanted to do right undercover and I said you want to get ready by Lee Rosmo.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
The Don and Mike Show.
You don't have to be an idiot to understand Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you sure do.
Everything about this show is at DonAndMikeWebsite.com. That's the only official site for the show.
Yeah, and Christmas is just around the corner.
You're right, whore friend. As a matter of fact, you could order on the 23rd,
right,
and still have the merchandise there.
Yeah, you're
guaranteed overnight for Christmas Eve.
Yeah, your stuff will get to you from the fourth pole.
DonAndMikeWebsite.com. Daily log, a daily download, an audio feature, pictures, the pick the pros, the fantasy football, the bets, the pictures of J Dubs, and the store.
Yeah, the store to buy stuff.
Now, Charlie is here.
Hello, Don.
Hello, Charlie.
Merry Christmas to one and all.
Happy Christmas to you, Charlie.
Hello, Don.
I love Charlie.
You forgot my birthday.
But now, Charlie.
And I've been sick ever since.
Oh, no. We did forget your birthday this year.
I've been very sick.
That was... No, you're not going to die like you did.
I've been sobbing.
You're not going to die like you did two Christmases ago, are you?
No, I've been sobbing. I've been very, very sick. Because I've been sick in the head.
Have they been taking...
I ought to get my ass thrown right out of the stadium.
Have they been taking your temperature?
Yes, constantly. 98.7. Feeling good, though. Take it again. Take it again. Do it.
Wow.
Do it. Do it to your satisfied.
Charlie, what's your favorite? Your favorite? Charlie?
At this... Mr. Spiewak gave me something to read.
Yeah? What?
Okay.
At this time of year, I'm not concerned about the hungry. I have plenty to eat.
What's your favorite Christmas story of all time?
My favorite Christmas story of all time is Hamburger James.
And it has nothing to do with Christmas.
No, but I love it. It's so wonderful.
It has everything to do with Elvis.
Gather around the radio, everybody. Don's going to read the Hamburger James story.
Life with Elvis was truly sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah, because he was a superstar.
Written by Rick Stanley.
And he liked fish.
He's Elvis's...
No, he didn't like fish.
That's right.
Yeah, well, that's coming up.
Sorry to interrupt.
He's Elvis's stepbrother. And he writes about how one afternoon his mom pulled up in a beautiful Continental. This is from People Magazine.
You know what I want for Christmas?
What, Charlie?
A golf drop. Smith Brothers. They're like candy.
Yeah. One afternoon, his mom pulls up in a beautiful Continental. You know, I heard Ron and Fez talking about that last night, that Fez wanted some Smith cough drops, and they couldn't find, I guess they had a retarded intern that couldn't find them, and then there was
How about
the other...
Hooten's Cherry?
Just as good.
Yeah. Who's the big scary guy they had?
Ogre.
Ogre went out and found like 20 boxes
for
Fez.
That's my friend.
Who, Ogre?
Ogre's my friend.
Sure.
What a great guy. What a great guy he is.
Charlie, I must ask.
Yeah, Rob.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Yeah.
It's
don't look at Robin.
You forgot, too.
Don't look at Robin. That's out of voice.
Everybody forgot that I was 64.
I need to ask you. Have you met Robin Fez's producer?
No, who's he?
Oh, Giant Brian?
Giant Brian.
Oh, my God, yes, I saw him. I haven't met him, but he looks just like me.
He's like looking in a mirror.
You know what he's? He's like mini-me, though, because you're so giant. And
I'm 7 feet tall.
Keep in mind, this guy, Giant Brian, who looks
still
like Charlie.
Growing.
This guy, Giant Brian, who looks like Charlie, is like, what, 6'2", maybe, something like that?
And he's strong like Charlie.
Mr. Gray said to me, Charlie, at 64, most people start to shrink. But you're getting taller. Where were we?
This is Rick Stanley, Elvis's stepbrother.
And he's like one of the Memphis Mafia.
Yes. And he writes about his time with Elvis.
Yep.
Eventually, I took care of Elvis when we were traveling.
His time with Elvis. Snack time.
I did everything. I make sure all the meals are taken care of. I take care of his wardrobe and jewelry. I tape up the windows so the sun can't get in. I set up the room and carried his kit.
Yep.
That contained all of Elvis's medication.
That's got his drugs.
When he would come off stage, it was my responsibility to get a towel around his neck, a glass of water in his hand, his coat on his back. Then we got him into his car. Make sure that there weren't anybody following us.
Because he's famous.
Girls were always available.
Yeah, anytime, not a day.
Always.
Anytime, anytime.
It wasn't a matter of picking which ones Elvis wanted.
My kit is full of thermometers. Both kinds.
He wanted a different girl every night.
Don't mix them up.
Elvis had to have somebody in bed with him. I don't think sex was involved lots of the time. He hated to be alone. If there wasn't a girl in there, I'd sometimes sleep at the foot of his bed.
You been out to the lobby?
Have I?
Yeah, your tree sucks.
Yeah.
It's better than the one we had last year.
Yep, the one we had last year was none.
That's right, Charlie.
None, like on the dreidel.
When Elvis wanted a girl, someone would go find him one. We called it trolling.
Get a girl, like fishing.
Elvis would look around and say, boys, it's time to go trolling. And we knew what that meant. Someone had to go downstairs.
Boys, let's go get him.
Select four or five girls for him to look over.
Right on, Don.
It was a routine. When I was gone, Elvis would get out stuff to talk to these girls about. He carried books on astrology and numerology and that type of thing.
I like Lindsay Lohan.
Anyway, I'd take him up and there he'd be, all smiles and very
gracious. Great headlights.
Elvis would make women feel wonderful. They'd sit in the suite for a while. Elvis would look him over. Then he'd let me know which one he wanted to stay. I'd instruct her. Tell her what Elvis liked and what he didn't like. I would tell her, if things were gathered away, she decided she wanted to spend the night, and I knew she'd already decided she wouldn't be there.
I wish Christmas came every year, Don.
There was things that she would want to know.
Hey, Don.
Yes, Charlie.
It smells like Morris Jones.
He was here about 3 hours ago.
Baby powder.
Yeah. Stay classy, San Diego.
Christmas.
Yeah. I told them Elvis liked to eat in bed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd set a table on the bed.
Don't choke, Elvis.
I'd tell the girls that Elvis always ate and slept in PJs. And I left his PJ tops in the bathroom for them. And I would tell them Elvis insisted everybody be very clean so they have to take a shower before they put on the PJs.
That's right. I can't wait to vote.
I told them they could order anything they wanted to eat.
Yep.
But Elvis hated the smell of fish.
Yeah, he doesn't like fish. Keep it away.
So to get away whatever they wanted, they could get whatever they wanted,
right.
But stay away from fish.
No fish. Elvis hates the smell of fish.
Also, I told all of Elvis's girlfriends to brush their teeth after they ate, that Elvis always did that.
You know why he hates the smell of fish?
Why?
Too fishy.
And I would put a new toothbrush in the bathroom for them. I'd always take a big batch of toothbrushes on the road with us, a big double handful.
Hi, Joe! Joe, Roger.
Better focus, sir.
The kit was everywhere with Elvis. And I was the guy designated to take care of it. Mm. And Elvis went out for a drive, that meant I brought Elvis's kit.
That's right.
It had all kinds of uppers. Dexedrine, Black Beauties. Then you've got the Class A Percodan, Demerol, Codeine.
I brush my teeth never.
Barbiturates. Towards the end, Elvis had liquid Demerol and
needles. Yeah, that's the good stuff.
And we had money inside the kit. $10,000 in a wallet.
And Feederman gum.
Well, that's coming up, Charlie, yeah.
Feederman gum.
Elvis's makeup.
Yeah!
Charlie's license. And a lot of jewelry. Elvis started taking prescription drugs from his mom.
I sold my teeth for licorice.
When he was a young man.
I got them in the back, but they grew back like a shark.
A lot of big money performers think it's a lot of fun to have servants hanging around.
Look at my teeth.
There was a guy that ended up working for Elvis, helping me.
Here we go.
He didn't have much of a job.
Right.
Mainly he went for stuff like hamburgers.
Y'all called him Hamburger James.
Well,
this is the part of the story I love.
I'm in Elvis's suite one day.
I'm flirting with diabetic shock, Don. But I'll be okay.
He yells out from his bathroom that someone's been in the kit.
Oh, no, it's Hamburger James.
He said things were missing.
Get them, boys.
Money, pictures.
Yep.
Ran all over the place.
Drugs.
The only person that we couldn't find.
What?
The only person they couldn't find.
Was Hamburger James.
Elvis.
This is where the story gets really great.
Yeah. Elvis was more than mad.
Yeah, he was so angry.
He was in a wild rage.
Oh, he's angry.
Spread to everybody. Elvis had pictures in the kit.
Yep.
They were pictures of Scylla.
Personal.
Hamburger James took some of those, and Elvis was hot. God damn, was he hot. Everyone's running around looking for Hamburger James.
Go get him.
Someone says, I bet he's at the airport.
Yeah, he's leaving, going back to Memphis on a jet plane.
We're in Vegas at the time. Elvis screams, get the car. And we race out of the hotel and pile into cars. Six or seven of us, we come screeching up to the airport and everybody piles out. Several people are wearing guns and shoulder holsters.
Don.
Yes, Charlie.
It seems to me that James was a bad seed. A troubled soul, if you will.
Hamburger James.
Don't you think? What say you, Johnny?
Are you having one of your moments of clarity?
Yes, I am. A troubled lad.
Yes.
Okay, let's have pizza. I love this story. I love Christmas. I love growing at 64.
Everybody's carrying guns, and we're walking up to the different counters in the airport, jumping up and down, looking over the heads of people.
Trying
to find Hamburger James.
Go get him, boys.
Finally, somebody runs up and says he found the plane from Memphis is leaving the gate, so we run like mad to get there.
There he is.
The guys are pounding on the glass. Elvis runs up to the girl at the gate desk and says, stop that plane.
I'm a federal officer.
She says, I can't. Elvis pulls out his police badge, one of the bunch he's been given over the years, flashes it at her, and he says, I'm a federal officer. I said, stop that plane.
He's a fraud.
And she sees it's Elvis.
He's a con man.
That's right.
It's all a big scam.
She gets all buttery.
Yeah, buttery because she knows it's Elvis.
She starts whimpering something about, oh, it's you. Can I have your autograph, Elvis? And Elvis is yelling, stop that plane. I'm a federal officer. I'll tell you right now. I want that plane stopped right now.
It's going to stop.
She's looking at him sort of funny. Both mad and confused and flattered. I never did understand why, but the plane stopped and pulled back up to the gate.
Yeah, he's on the plane.
They opened the door and Elvis's bodyguards ran down the aisles.
Go get him, boys.
And there in the back was old Hamburger
James. Yeah,
huddled down in hiding. They dragged him out right into the aisle. They dragged him right up the aisle.
Yeah.
Off the plane.
He's crying.
Out of the airport.
Yeah.
You're right, Charlie.
Yeah.
He was wailing and crying.
And then they're going to take him back, and then Elvis is going to... Oh,
Some of the guys are punching him to keep him quiet.
Oh, I hate to wait.
I'm sure he thought we were going to take him in the desert and dig him a grave. We race back to the hotel.
I cry sometimes. I do. When I get my checkups.
Temperature?
Yeah. Sometimes I cry.
Race back to the hotel when Elvis's people drag Hamburger James into the elevator.
Gonna lose that thing.
Up to Elvis's suite, they throw him down on the couch.
Yeah, watch this.
Elvis walks up, and the crowd of people parts.
This is bad. He's going to kill him.
Hamburger James is crying like crazy.
He's going to kill him.
Scared to death.
It's the best Christmas story ever.
Elvis walks up in front of him, leans down, and picks up a big, heavy coffee table.
Right.
He doesn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
He's dead quiet. I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, he's going to murder this guy. He's going to smash Hamburger James in the head of the table. How are we going to talk our way out of this? But Elvis puts the table down to one side. He walks up to Hamburger James, looks at him real cold and quiet.
Listen to this part.
Elvis reaches over while Hamburger James is looking straight at him.
This is really sweet.
And he slaps him. Twice.
Wait, it's not over yet.
Like in the movies.
Hold on, hold your horse.
Slap, and a backhand, pow. Then again, pow.
This is a better miracle than Mr. Jones.
The most amazing thing happened.
Here's the amazing part.
Hamburger James got a funny look on his face and wilted like a baby. He cried and cried.
Yep.
Like his heart was broken. He said he was sorry he stole from Elvis. He would give it all back. He knew he had done something he could never be forgiven for. Elvis looked at him for a minute, Charlie. And then Elvis broke down and started crying, too.
Elvis was sad. He had a heart.
He sobbed and sobbed. He got on his knees and he said, Hamburger James, I'm sorry. Why didn't you tell me if you needed money?
What is the deal, James?
Why did you steal from me?
So stupid.
Why did you not tell me you wanted to go back to Memphis? Because I could have given you money.
Don?
You don't have to steal from me.
Because he was a bad egg. I like eggs. Elvis boiled fried.
Elvis kept telling Hamburger James he didn't have to leave. He could keep his job, but Hamburger James wanted to go. So Elvis gave him a few weeks' salary, and somebody took him back to the airport.
He had a big heart.
Elvis wanted to be a tough guy.
A big heart. Chock-a-block with cholesterol.
But really, he couldn't. No.
Mm-hmm.
And now you ready for the other little sidebar about the
What's
story?
What's the sidebar? I love sidebars. Can we eat them now?
No.
It's the part about Elvis with drugs and eating.
Oh, yes. Tell us.
Because technically the story's over now. Elvis didn't kill Hamburger.
Tell us,
okay.
Where's my birthday cake?
Drugs were everywhere for Elvis.
Yep.
In the latter part of his life, they started taking control. He couldn't think or act straight anymore.
He even went and filled his pills with sugar.
When Elvis fell out of bed in the morning, there was a handful of uppers and he'd chase it down with coffee.
Yay!
I would have to order three breakfasts because he'd get so out of it on those uppers, he'd be rattling and talking and his food would get cold.
I'll have some uppers and a gingerbread latte.
Halfway into the meal, I'd have to have another one sitting there ready. He would get all wired like that, then give him Valium.
I can no longer buy lewds on the street.
Take the edge off. Before he went on stage, his doctors would give him uppers. Then when he came off the stage, they'd give him something to calm him down. They'd give him something to go to sleep.
Wise men say.
Sometimes Elvis would get so out of it during a meal, he'd be sitting there and nodding off, and you'd always have to watch him because he would get a piece of hamburger hung in his throat. I know you love this part. On more than one occasion, I had to go into Elvis's throat while he was choking in bed.
Oh.
Reach in his throat and pull meat and food stuff out.
Can you imagine having to do that?
Then I had to pound on his chest.
I choke all the time.
It was sad, you know.
Yep.
I mean, this guy's 19 years older than me, and I'm holding him up. I put my arms around him and say, are you okay, boss?
I didn't know that peaches had a rock in them.
His health was practically ruined by his lifestyle.
Yeah, that's right, Don.
Elvis had real bad eating habits.
Yep.
Everyone was trying to get him to lose weight, but they had to be careful about making suggestions or he'd get mad.
Sure.
So they'd say something indirectly, like they'd say, I had a friend who lost a lot of weight. Thanks, Charlie.
Lost a lot of weight.
Eating yogurt.
Like me.
Elvis would get these little containers of yogurt with fruit.
I'm losing weight.
But it didn't work because Elvis would eat 20 to 30 at a time.
I don't know why.
He'd keep on doing whatever else he was doing to...
Do what you're doing there, man.
On his last night, I had just gotten off the phone with my girlfriend, Robin.
Robin!
Oh, and then it goes on about
Robin.
Elvis being found on the toilet and, yes. And the vomit. And
we all know how that ends.
Charlie.
The vomit.
This is where I always love asking you.
Sure.
What's the moral? What's the Christmas moral of the Hamburger James story?
The Christmas moral of the Hamburger James story is if you pick a scab, it'll get infected. Thank you.
That's very nice, Charlie.
So don't pick them, especially when your fingernails look like these. Look at these.
Now what are...
You can have potatoes all night.
What's wrong with your fingernails, Charlie?
I let them grow. I let them grow and get all the gunk underneath them.
Oh, don't do that.
And then I pick them with my teeth. Mr. Jones had perfect fingernails.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Flawless.
Manicured.
Oh, Morris Jones?
Yes, I like him. I do.
We all do.
I'd like to say on this Christmas, I'd like to list the people I like.
Oh, all right. Sure, go ahead.
I like Joe Ardinger.
Of course.
Joe.
I like Justy Johnson.
Oh, J-Dubs, yeah.
And I like Fez Watley. That's my list.
Interesting.
And I'm sticking with it. And I like Jonathan.
Can I tell you something about Fez?
What?
I'm going to have to write it down.
Okay.
Whatever you do.
And Mr. Hughes.
Well, we all like him.
Of course.
Don't say this word.
Of course we do.
But I've heard this about Fez.
All right. No.
Yes. Now, do you know what that word means?
Yup, it means happy.
No. No. It means... I'll write a word that you... That,
I hate it when you do this stuff I don't understand.
Okay, it means this. Okay, hold on. Let me put...
Okay. No, I get it.
Hold on.
He doesn't like football.
No. How about that? I added three letters.
Oh, that word.
Yeah.
Can I read it?
Yeah.
Faggot.
You see, Charlie didn't...
I can't read that.
No.
Charlie,
why'd you hold it up there?
Charlie thought that gay meant happy, and then I wrote just F-A-G, and he
didn't get that.
So he doesn't like football.
Fez? Right, he doesn't like football.
That's what it means.
That's what it means.
Merry Christmas, Let's everybody. That.
That's what it means, Charlie.
Boy, what a great time of year.
You know...
Don't you agree?
You have really held up through this segment. I remember 2 years ago...
Oh, I remember that. 2 years ago, I couldn't do it.
You were dying. We were considering killing you off as a character.
Something about the end of the show. Something about right before the break, Charlie's voice just goes on him. Must be going to all those parties with Mike. Fez. He's a bit swishy. But I love him.
All right, Charlie.
All right, Don.
All right, then.
Well, all right, then.
All right, fine.
How are you anyway?
All right, fine.
Well, then, fine. Okay.
Charlie?
Play the Brenda Lee.
Oh, no. You want to hear
that?
I love that.
Okay. Cracks him up.
Now, do you get why this is funny?
Yep.
Do you really? Explain it to me in a moment. We got to get to Buzz's news. Okay, the funny part's coming up. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie. Charlie?
She's supposed to say pumpkin pie,
yeah.
But she's really saying the bad word pie.
Right.
Hey. Like you want some...
Yeah.
Can I say the letter?
Yeah.
Can I say the letter?
Just say it very quietly.
My body rejects all foods except sweets.
What, your body rejects all foods except sweets?
I eat a pizza, it comes right up.
Oh, no.
I eat a Reese's Pieces, it stays in me. Always. Merry Christmas.
Happy belated birthday, Charlie.
And happy Hanukkah to my Jewish friends.
Oh, ho.
What about Kwanzaa?
Kwanzaa, too.
Do you know who celebrates Kwanzaa?
Yes.
Who?
Soul Brothers.
Okay. In a world, let's say that. Radio was strictly forbidden. One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
Me.
He made it up.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Charlie.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
You're looking smart in that JFK turtleneck.
Thank you. Your friend Michael Hughes gave this
to me. Happy.
Yes.
Happy joy, happy joy. Happy.
Did you have a chance to talk to his wife at the Christmas party?
I did.
Yeah.
We got along swimmingly.
Huh.
It was perfect.
Well, that's great.
So nice.
Same here.
Man, no, it was great.
Same here.
That's good to hear.
Talked all night to her and Madonna.
Buzz?
Yes.
What's your lead story on the news and comments today?
A U.S. soldier gets shot in the leg to avoid having to go back to Iraq.
Oh, no.
Do you
Why?
Do you understand that?
Nope. I got no idea.
For
I'll
news and comments, come up on the Don and Mike Show.
Charlie, that was very...
I don't know.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crespa?
The Don and Mike Show.
They love wigs and the women who wear them.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Elton John.
You know,
there was a time in radio that would have passed like as a good break.
Yeah.
But we would have, Mike and I would take the headphones off and go, whoa, outstanding job.
Fantastic.
Tight. Yeah.
The only thing that matters is, you know, hitting the vote, right?
Time for Buzz's news now. You are getting goofy, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. For a variety of reasons.
It's time. Are you? Is he doing something?
No, it's the whole room, the way it gets to the last. It's always like this. The last newscast of the year for
That's
us.
That's right. That's right, Mike.
Yeah. Show off.
Yeah, Mike can do that thing where he puts his fingers in his mouth and makes that, like, that thing when you want to get someone's attention.
Still talk it up. And during our time in New York City, that came in handy.
Yeah, it did.
Absolutely.
Getting taxis,
absolutely. Now, you can't do it.
No. I'm like...
Right.
Yeah, go ahead. Show off.
All right. I got to put the microphone
there.
Two fingers.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Piercing.
I can't do that. I can't do tunes. I can just do wolf whistles, you know?
Okay.
Isn't that fun? How about, is this passing for entertainment?
No. Miramax.
Yay,
sponsors.
Miramax.
Yeah,
that's entertainment.
Go. Yeah. Miramax. Sponsors Buzz's News and Comments.
Awesome call for a doctor.
Watch.
Yeah.
Doctor developed, clinically tested, available nationwide. Call 1-888-TRY-VMAX.
Wow.
Now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. It has come to this. A U.S. soldier allegedly asked a relative to shoot him in the leg so he wouldn't have to return to Iraq. This was a supply specialist, Marquis Roberts of Hinesville, Georgia, who was visiting family in Philadelphia, now has a minor wound in his left leg from a .22 caliber pistol. At the hospital, his story had more holes in it than his leg, so he was arrested. The Army says he may also face military charges, but wait, there's more.
Okay.
Despite the sensibility and popularity of the Iraqi war, the National Guard is falling a little short of its recruitment goal.
There you go again. You know, and I hate it. Like, I sound like Reagan when you say that. I'm being facetious, but right. I'm on to you, Burbank.
Yeah, he's got an agenda.
Because what you just said was that the war is good and popular, and the reality would be the war is not good and is not popular.
You see what I did there?
Yeah, I see.
Tricky. About 10,000 guys short they are on recruitment at the National Guard this year.
Yeah, there won't be a draft.
That's too many.
For reasons no one can quite pinpoint, fewer people are enlisting. Not only has there been a drop-off of recruits off the street, there's also a smaller-than-usual number of soldiers from other branches of the service transferring into the Guard at the end of their active duty.
Excuse me, please.
Yes?
You did it again.
I'm sorry, what?
Not a lot of people want to recruit to go to Iraq.
Right.
No one wants to join to go to Iraq.
When you, get that? When you used to go to Germany to, you know, drink beer and train, you know, it's okay, but... There's war going on.
No, and he said that people want to do it.
Sure, when the cause is right and just.
I think he just did it again.
The Guard's reenlistment bonus is now $15,000, and its college tuition bonuses are up as well, you know, if you survive. But the love fest continues for Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld.
He's having a good week.
Earlier this week, a luminary in the president's own party, Senator John McCain, said he has no confidence in Rumsfeld.
Luminary.
Now another big name, Republican Senator Trent Lott.
If you survive.
Yeah, get it?
Yeah. Okay.
You just caught up with that one?
Yeah.
There you go.
If you survive.
He's got an agenda. Trent Lott says he'd like to see Rumsfeld replaced. Quoting Lott, I'm not a fan. I don't think he listens enough to his uniformed officers. Like McCain, Lott says we need more troops now and that we need to then get out of Iraq as soon as the election there is over.
Gee, what candidate was saying that?
Lott, Now you're doing it.
Oh, sorry. I just felt the wave.
Like McCain, Lott says Rumsfeld is not the guy to get this job done. And also like McCain, Lott says this does not mean he's calling for Rumsfeld's resignation.
Thus far, this segment, rich with irony.
Dripping.
That used to be my name. Rich Irony.
Not to be confused with Rich Eisen.
No.
He gives away money.
Mm-hmm. Now, Christmas in our schools, a tale of two districts.
Wonderful.
At a school in Nebraska, there's a controversy over whether it was or wasn't okay to use the word Christmas. The principal says,
Happy Christmas!
The principal says the theme of the classroom door decorating contest was winter, not Christmas. That's why he says he recommended the class remove the word
Christmas
from its poster. He recommended they change the caption to, "Don't be the Grinch that stole the winter wonderland." So kids from other religions wouldn't feel left out.
Oh, pound sand.
Well,
pound sand.
All of this made the newspaper, the story spread, and there was a great harumph throughout the land.
Harumph.
What nobody seems to notice is that the poster should read, "The Grinch Who Stole," not "The Grinch That Stole." Who for people, that for things.
Yeah.
Remember education, priorities, people.
All right, good one, Buzz.
And the only thing worse than a school losing sight of education would be if the kids got satanic sex calendars.
Oh, no.
Dateline, Texas.
Oh, here we go.
In a suburb of Houston, a school did what a lot of schools do. They brought in a cop to deliver a positive anti-gang message to the kids. Instead, the officer reportedly gave the 25, 12-year-olds a calendar outlining the best times and ways to worship Satan.
I am the god of hellfire!
And get laid in the process.
You fire!
Got calendars?
Yeah, 25 of them did. Let's look at September 12th on the 20th on the calendar, rather, the night of the Midnight Host. It recommends you have a blood ritual on that day. And on the 23rd, to commemorate the autumnal equinox, quote, "You should have an orgy, group sex, any age, any gender." That's what it says on the calendar.
Right,
kids,
yeah.
Kids got for free.
I just get crappy Sports Illustrated calendars.
The investigation is underway, quoting one parent, "It's just not right." Quoting Satan, "Exactly."
This should be a good point for me to mention.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
WJFK cares about our community.
That's right. Amen.
Go to the WJFK FM Stuff a Truck today till 11 o'clock. Westgate Plaza Giant, Sudley Road in Manassas.
Yeah, get out there and do some good.
Yeah. You know why?
Why?
This station cares.
I am the god of hellfire.
Very good.
And I bring you fire.
Yeah. Benefits the Capital Area Food Bank.
Very good. And this brings us to the question, who's stealing the Jesus statues? In the quiet suburb,
oh, Rob.
You know that.
I think I've got 20 now.
Woodstock, Illinois, a quiet suburb. Someone's been stealing the baby Jesuses out of nativity scenes people put on their lawns.
And here's what we're going to do. I spent the last month going to Burger King, mm-hmm. stealing those big SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yes. Yeah, you're the one?
Rob has been stealing the Jesuses, mm-hmm. and now we're going to have the best nativity scene ever.
Oh, fantastic.
Where SpongeBob is actually going to give birth to Jesus.
SpongeBob, baby Jesus.
In one theft of a baby Jesus just outside Chicago, the dastardly thief left a note that read, "Would Jesus use this much electricity?" A fair theological question, perhaps, but not a justification for such a harsh crime.
Theologic.
Quoting one victim, "You cannot replace a baby Jesus. You have to buy a whole nativity scene."
Let's give a moment to...
Yeah. Right.
The great Mike Douglas and the Mike Douglas Singers.
I will give them all back.
Happy birthday,
yes. For a pound of myrrh.
So one
Katie
thing.
Got a dolly.
Katie got a dolly.
Eyes and blinks its eyes.
That's right.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
You can't replace just the baby Jesus. You have to buy the whole nativity scene, according to one victim. Quoting another victim, what are they going to do next? Take the crosses off the churches? Quoting Satan, exactly.
What do we have now?
Good.
My favorite.
Oh,
I always get fooled by that one.
Double T.
I always get fooled.
That's right, Mr. Mike. Hello, Mr. Mike. Hello, Mr. Don. Hello, Mr. Rob. Hello, Mr. Buzz.
Could I have some, what did he want, warm beer?
Warm beer.
And I'll never forget, he said, "Mr. Rob, would management have trouble with me drinking warm Corona in the lobby?" I said, "Help yourself."
Very good.
Tiny Tim.
Warm Corona.
Merry Christmas.
How come he's not still alive?
I don't know. He regretfully is passed.
Yes, the song gives me goosebumps. Tim.
And don't forget, while celebrating Christmas, to give thanks for our Christmas miracle. Brad Pitt and
Morris Jones?
No. Brad Pitt and Matt Damon have survived a hotel fire.
Oh, no.
National treasures, both of them. Why in God's name were they in the same hotel? We can't afford to lose them both at once.
They were probably promoting Ocean's 12.
Exactly. They were in London doing just that. A small fire broke out in the hotel kitchen. Also spared...
Oh, no!
Also spared the fiery tongues of death, Mick Jagger and Jim Carrey, who was there to promote Lemony Snicket.
Oh, can you imagine? My God.
The Jim Carrey movie, to right. me... I saw it's getting good reviews.
Yeah, it is.
I would rather go get all my teeth pulled out than go see this movie. It looks, and he looks like he's doing a bad imitation of Jim Ignatowski from Taxi when he's in the makeup.
And I found out he doesn't even play Lemony Snicket.
No. You know, the thing is, I have tired of Jim Carrey and antics.
No, I haven't with, like, Liar Liar, Bruce Almighty.
Yeah, Pet Detective.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. It's when these... jerks try to stretch, like, please.
I do like the baby that bites the table.
Adam Sandler in Spanglish. Listen, I've seen all of his awful movies. Oh, no. I love the stupid movies. I'm supposed to believe that, and from what I was reading today about Spanglish, the plot apparently is written apparently about the guy's ex-wife, the guy who wrote the movie, the guy that wrote As Good As It Gets, the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
James L. Brooks.
Yes. Ah. So here's the plot of the movie. Adam Sandler is a perfect guy. He has his own restaurant. It's a four-star restaurant.
I can relate.
Okay, nice. Look around cafe.
Perfect. He loves his family. He's the perfect father. Mm-hmm. His wife, Tia Leone, is a big, gigantic bitch on wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess for 2 hours...
I can relate.
You have to sit through... you have to...
Happy holidays. Rob, you enjoy your Christmas now.
I don't think she's listening, but
yeah, that's why he's
you're brave. But yeah, I had the same thought.
Oh, dear. All right, now both of you enjoy your Christmas.
Anyway, he is a good-hearted, does everything perfect. Mm-hmm. She's a bitch on wheels. And I was reading today in Variety that it's all really about this guy, James Brooks. It's all about his ex-wife.
Wow. But Adam Sandler does not credibly play an adult.
No. No, he You're does right. not. I won't fine. I won't go see that. I won't go see the other one. But I did want to also say, if you're thinking about seeing Ocean's 12, I know I panned it last week. The more I think about it, the more I think the star of that movie who's really outstanding is Matt Damon.
Okay.
And I bet the second time that I see Ocean's 12, I come away from it again saying Matt Damon is really the star of this movie.
And I think it'd be safe to say Matt Damon out of that whole group is the one whose star is, you know, everybody else is in their prime. I think Matt Damon has yet to hit his star.
Matt Damon is funny in Ocean's 12. Of all these movies we were just talking about, right? the lickety-split thing and the Spanglish and... Ocean's 12. Still go see Ocean's 12.
All right.
Very good.
I will.
He plays Linus.
But if you want realistic casting, you have to look at Lenny DiCaprio as Howard Hughes. That's
the Graviator. The Graviator.
Graviator.
The Graviator.
And Lenny DiCaprio, who's what, 30 years old, and he still looks 10.
That's right. Very clever, these marketing guys at Microsoft. They give you free software and only charge you for it if you want a version that works. Windows software has proven to be insanely vulnerable to hackers and other internet evildoers. Now Microsoft says it will offer free spyware for 30 days to remove some of the garbage it has allowed into your computer.
Okay.
But when the 30 days are up, Microsoft says it may start charging for the software needed to fix the failures in its operating system.
Come on!
What's wrong with that?
Or you can just get free downloads of SpyBot, Spyware Blaster, and Cool Web Shredder. You'll find them through Google, which is also free.
Thank you for sending those to me, Buzz.
You're welcome. There'll be more.
All right.
In the video game Grand Theft Auto, you get to...
Thank you for sending me the Nambla pictures, Buzz.
Anytime. In the video...
I only mentioned that because Buzz... Didn't you mention Nambla on the show this week?
I did, yeah.
You did? I just wanted to point that out because it's Christmas and everything.
It's an abbreviation for Federal Communications Commission.
After the break, call me and explain how I'm going to get them into my computer because I've saved them all.
Oh, very good. No problem.
All right.
Now, in the
Buzz sent me all that free security stuff.
To protect your computer against...
He sent me some damn sexy pictures. All I can say.
In the video game Grand Theft Auto, you get to kill cops and steal cars. You also get to pick up hookers and then beat them into giving your money back. Quoting the governor of Illinois, this may be okay if you're a mature adult or a soldier training to fight.
Good heavens.
Is this really necessary for a 10-year-old? It's a game not rated for kids, but kids play it and love it.
That's right.
So today, the governor of Illinois is proposing America's first state law to regulate the sale and rental of these games, just like tobacco and booze.
Yeah, that's going
to
work.
This is the stuff we... Why are we paying attention to this stuff? There are more important things.
You know the reason. Because the more we talked about Grand Theft Auto, the less we talk about how great we're doing in Iraq.
Amen.
Supplying a minor with the wrong game could bring the same fines and imprisonment as selling liquor or cigarettes to a kid in Illinois. It's a growing concern for a growing business growing so fast. The annual gross of the video game business now rivals the annual gross of all of Hollywood.
And I'm loving me that Halo.
And games like Grand Theft.
Oh, you know what? You should play my kid at that. What am I saying?
I'm on tard level.
He plays and he is just no pun intended, a killer at that game.
Yeah, I'm on the easiest level and I haven't made it through yet. I'm still in the tank.
Games like Grand Theft Auto are also best kept out of the hands of thugs in prison.
He just said you were in the tank.
I'm in the tank.
That could mean you were drunk.
Yeah, me?
Yeah, right.
Michael Mara. Silly, silly, silly.
They've taken Grand Theft Auto out of the recreation room at the Jefferson City Correctional Center in Missouri.
Grand Theft Auto.
So the men we've segregated from ourselves because they are too violent can no longer play Blood Rain or Max Payne. Freeing them to take out their aggressions in some other way.
Yeah. Love making.
Yeah. When we come back, yes? Rumors are true. Michael Jackson had some kids out to Neverland today. When we come back, wow.
Hey, thank
I'll
you,
tell
buddy.
You more.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
OnStar Personal Calling is a hands-free phone that's built into your OnStar-equipped vehicle.
I never get tired of talking about it.
Me too, Mike. There's no phone to hold. There's no battery to charge. It's always there in case you leave your phone at home or you can't reach it in your bag.
It enables you to stay connected to those you need to talk to, even in cities and states where legislation doesn't allow you to use your handheld while driving.
OnStar has two ways to pay for your service. As always, you can buy the prepaid minutes. And they also now offer the new America's Choice plan with OnStar. You add your built-in OnStar hands-free phone to your existing Verizon service package. That way you use the handheld phone when you're outside the car. OnStar, when you're inside the car.
I just love hands-free because at this age, I'm tired of using my hands.
If you don't have OnStar, press the blue button to order minutes. I love using my hands. That's awesome.
The Don and Mike Show.
And buy a band stage.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Here with a lovely radio bouquet for ye, Don and Mike.
I know I'm a fan. I love this Mariah Carey song so bad. This will be the part of the show where we go to Buzz. Also, we say thank you for listening to the show all year long.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll be back in early January. It's our annual winter hibernation. And thank you guys for listening all year. It's been a tough year. It's been a great year on the on the show.
And many great things to come.
Absolutely. And now, once again, here's Guy. Hello, Guy.
Hi, Don and Mike. Last chance at Neverland Ranch. We heard about this story earlier today, and it wasn't clear as to whether or not it would actually happen. It did happen. While awaiting trial on child molestation charges, embattled pop star Michael Jackson played host today to dozens of children at his Neverland Ranch.
That's a great move. That's a great PR move.
Come on, gather around. So like gather around. Don't call me Jackal.
Sort of like canned hunting, isn't it? Three busloads of children and some parents visited Jackson's estate in the foothills above Santa Barbara,
you
California.
You freaking idiot!
Witnesses say the children appear to be excited and happy to be at the ranch that features theme park-style rides, a miniature train, and a small zoo.
Unbelievable.
Michael Jackson's World of DNA.
Jackson's still out on bail awaiting trial on a 10-count indictment on child molestation. It isn't clear as to whether or not Jackson attended the event or whether he met his guest.
And the other thing, Buzz, I don't remember if it's coming up on the news or not, about Scott Peterson. I was reading today that he is happy with the amount of fan mail that he's getting.
He's getting a lot.
He is also going to be getting, the state gives all the inmates for Christmas, he's going to get some hygiene products and some candy.
Yeah.
And he's also been logging a lot of time with the Golf Channel.
Oh, God.
And,
how weird is that?
And Amber Fry, the girl who up until yesterday I thought was okay in all of this, she's the girl that was having the affair with him. She didn't know what was going on with him. She helped the cops capture him.
Right.
Well, all of a sudden, you got to look at her and say, hey, bitch, what's your problem? She's writing a book now. And her book's going to be out in 3 or 4 weeks. And, it, you know, I think most people had looked at Amber Fry sympathetically saying,
another victim, right?
This is a woman who didn't know what was going on, stepped up, did the right thing for the cops, recorded the phone calls.
And that is no class. I mean, that is the definition of no class.
There you go.
I mean, really, you know, and of course, she doesn't have to adhere to any, you know, she's not the one that did it, so she doesn't have to adhere to that, but she's still exploiting the death of Lacey Peterson.
Right, she's going to say, well, my life was turned upside down, I had to hire a lawyer, I got to get my side of the story out. Honey, I think we heard your side of the story.
No, she's trying to cash in.
Right.
A casino in Atlantic City has been fined $80,000 for using its security cameras to look down into women's low-cut dresses at the gaming tables and up their skirts at the escalator.
Wow.
Casinos have crazy numbers of cameras watching for cheaters and dirty dealers. They roll tape on all of that. And Caesars in AC has security guys who, quote, recorded footage of selected parts of the anatomy of several females. There are laws against that, even for casinos.
I got a shot at a woman in a reindeer shirt. I got a down shirt on table 7.
All right, put the recorders on.
Yeah. Woman's got a Santa shirt on.
Man.
One 18-minute tape seized at Caesars was nothing but close-ups of women's body parts. Caesars has no comment.
Yeah!
But say what you will about Lindsay Lohan's dad, but Jessica Simpson's dad gets my vote as Father of the Year.
Why?
Like too many showbiz dads, he's also the career manager for Jessica and her sister Ashley.
Yeah, what a lucky dad.
But the former Baptist minister Joe Simpson is focused on Jessica. Certain parts of her in particular. Quoting Joe, a quote from Dad, Jessica never tries to be sexy, she just is. If you put her in a t-shirt or a bustier, she's sexy in both. She's got double D's, you can't cover those suckers up, end quote.
That's Daddy's argument.
From Dad.
There is nothing creepier
than
a father talking about his
daughter.
My
daddy says I'm the best. It's out of, Rob, it's right out of the, it's from, I'm good at
vacation.
French kissing.
Yeah.
Give me a second.
No, it's from this vacation. Is worth it. I love this tape.
And there is nothing more disturbing than that to me.
I don't think so, no.
Here's Jessica Simpson commenting on that story.
Very good.
I'm going steady, and I French kiss. So everybody does that. Yeah, but Daddy says I'm the best at it.
Yeah. Nice. Baptist minister. Well, my daughter's got double D's to die for.
Wow.
Papa Joe Simpson says he has decided not to let daughter Ashley play a lesbian in her first movie, quoting him, not her first role. A dad has to look out for his daughters.
Oh, I think that there might be some TF in the future.
You know, they talk about the...
For JS.
You know, they talk about the fact that that Nick Lachey guy doesn't get along with the father. I think we know why. Imagine having that dad around. Hey, look at her in a t-shirt.
I want to tell you something, darling. You are beautiful. Look at those jugs.
Yeah.
Daddy!
And then the husband comes in. What do you want? I'm just having a Diet Coke.
Or maybe she's like that girl in the John Candy movie, Summer Rental, who just got him done. Imagine Jessica Simpson comes in and goes, Dad, I just don't know. What do you think? She lifts up her top like that.
Yeah, pretty good. What do you think, son? Yeah, good job.
Caskets have been used to try to smuggle marijuana through Oklahoma.
Is that just applause for caskets?
Caskets, yeah.
The
workmanship.
Hold on, I had a tape. Hold on.
Caskets being used to smuggle marijuana through Oklahoma.
You would just say casket?
Caskets.
Don, baby, how's it going?
There you go.
Tried to use them to smuggle pot through Oklahoma this week. The plot was buried, though, by OK State troopers whose dogs found 610 pounds of pot inside the coffins.
This is going to be really scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
The marijuana was in 4 caskets at the front of the truck. 20 other burial boxes had to be dragged out of the truck to
go
to the ones with the weed.
Where's my casket?
The lawyer for the trucker said he doesn't know anything. Quoting him, he didn't check inside the caskets for drugs.
I'm halfway dead.
Would you? And finally, she loved her cigarettes, and now she's dead. More than once, Marie Ellis of southeastern England was told that smoking would take her life. The doomsayers were right. She's left us now at the tender age of 105.
Wow.
Marie loved her cigarettes, and the ladies at her nursing home knew that. That's why they cremated her with a pack of her favorites while the song Smoke Gets in Your Eyes wafted through the air.
Yeah.
The large floral arrangement on her casket looked like a giant cigarette. White,
maybe.
White chrysanthemums for the paper tube, gold chrysanthemums for the filter.
This is good smoke.
Her ashes, no kidding, will go into an ashtray, a concrete memorial that living smokers will be able to use. Her brand was Benson and Hedges, even though she lived in Kent.
That's a beautiful story, Bob.
I am Buzz Burbank. Happy holidays from the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
That's it. Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Have a great holiday, everybody. And we'll be back after the first of the year. Stay tuned for Ron and Fez coming up next on JFK at Live 105 and in 1010 in Tampa Bay. Best of for the next however long it is with yes. Beth Ann and Robbie and Joe.
Enjoy.
And we'll see you in 20-odd-5 and all that stuff. Have a safe holiday. Love your freedom. Love your part. Good day to you, sir.
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 And to you.
I always applaud for coffins. And happy birthday, Julia.
Ah, there you go. You actually got something nice in tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, bastard. We'll
see you when we get back.
Merry Christmas, Catherine Elizabeth.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.